Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
To Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole. Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric...
Shut up! Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is April 5th, 2012, and it's Thursday. That's why I'm here. So anyway, I got a lot to talk about. I got, wrestling. I got a lot of wrestling to talk about, to be, blunt. I got Dragon Gate USA. I could touch on the first night. I really don't have much to say about it other than, like I said, I was doing the show last week, and they were running their show out in Florida, and it was part one of a triple header. UHA Nation got hurt. Turned out pretty serious. He's going to be out for like a year. It's a severe shit. He tore some shit, and that's the technical term. And he'll be out for, probably nearing a year, around a year. So that sucks. They're going to replace him in Best of the Best. I'm not sure with who yet or what's going to go on there. I guess we'll stay tuned and stuff. We'll have to see. But Dragon Gate Night 2 and Night 3 were iPay-per-views. And I paid for them. That's one of the most shocking things I've done in a long time. But I enjoyed the shit out of them. I thought both shows were really, really good. And then we got WrestleMania to talk about. And we got Raw to talk about. And, there are random news and different things going on. And, anyone's... anyone who's willing to call in, chat it up, have at it, it's no problem. Definitely, I don't even know which one to start with, because I got so much, but, let me see, I guess I'll start off with the first Dragon Gate show. Before I get to that, definitely wanted to mention a couple of things, like, random shit. This morning, right? I went to Wawa, and normally I just pick up my normal coffee, something to drink, whatever, and then I realized, I was like, let me grab something to eat, every once in a while I give their food a shot. It's always a terrible decision, but, so I did that, and I see, they got new quesadillas or whatever, so I'm like, let me get one of them chicken quesadillas. I do that, so I'm like, all right, I didn't go pick it up. And these motherfuckers got, like, what looks like a little pizza box, but it's made out of, like, loose-leaf notebook paper. And the motherfucker's just, like, melting as you're looking at it. Before you even grab it off the counter, you can see, like, danger happening and shit. So you put it in your bag, you go to the car. I mean, before you even leave the motherfucking parking lot, this shit is fucking melted. It's your fucking quesadilla things crawling out the side. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. It's not the worst tasting thing in the world, but it's also, it's made out of that chicken that comes in the chicken cheesesteak thing that they make that's fucking horrific. It's that chicken, you know, and it's in there. It's so overprocessed, it's ridiculous. But yeah, if you would like to see fucking food leave its container within 5 minutes, then go get that. Because that's pretty much what it does. It's pretty ridiculous. So they need to fucking revisit that idea altogether. I mean, the food's not good enough for me to try again anyway, but yeah, that's just fucking paper-thin fucking pizza box. That's what a great idea that is. They wrap everything else that comes from that store, and then they're like, oh, we got pizza boxes for sandwiches. So proud of you bastards. So anyway, Dragon Gate. Like I said, well, it's night two, but night one of the iPay-per-views. Obviously, Uha being hurt. It was originally going to be AR Fox versus Uha, so they had to quick sub that out. And, they subbed in Rich Swann. So, I mean, what can you expect out of that? It was a great opener. Fox ended up going over with the low main pain. You know, a lot of just back and forth, great high-flying stuff. I'm not sure which one of their matches I've liked better. I think I like the one better that they did at the style battle on Evolve a couple months back. Fox has now won 3 matches against Swanee. You know, between this one in Dragon Gate USA and then the 2 on Evolve. And, he's won all of them. I'd like to see Rich get some more wins, for Christ's sakes. Yeah, he needs to put him over a little bit more. But, you know, as is, he was a sub-in. God knows, you know, if Fox was going to go over Uha or whatever the case was, they already had some shit working there. So, you know, to sub in another guy and put him over generally isn't the likely thing to happen. So, I got no, like, huge beef with it or nothing. Fox is awesome. It's just, you know, I like to see Swan shine, too. But yeah, so that was a great opener. Then, Seema and Ricochet come out, and Seema says he's got an injured neck from night one, and they're going to vacate the tag titles. And out come Johnny Gargano, Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor's saying, yeah, okay, great, just hand us the titles. We were going to fight you anyway tonight, so just go ahead and hand over those titles. And Johnny gets into it saying, no, I want to earn everything I win. I'm not going to take it like that, this and that. Chuck seems to look annoyed. But then out comes Yoshino, and he's going to replace Seema. And they're going to fight for the vacated titles. So that's agreed upon. And we have that all lined up for the main event. So they move on from there. They got The Scene versus Bobby Fish, and he started off not having any opponent or anything like that, and it ended up being Tommy Dreamer, which always just excites the hell out of me. So anyway, The Scene, I had never seen The Scene before, which I know is kind of redundant, but they're all right. They got that over the top fucking we come out with strippers gimmick, which, I mean, not a whole lot wrong with it, but, you know, it can be overdone, like, extremely fast. And they have Larry Dallas as their manager. So, and Larry Dallas was sporting a haircut with it was a normal haircut, I would imagine, but some blonde streaks in it. Made him look like Charlie Haas, in my opinion. So, yeah, that was, more or less their entrance to the match. But the match was actually okay. It wasn't too bad, but wasn't the best thing ever. But, Bobby Fish ends up winning with the fish hook. Dreamer pile drives some bitch, and then he spanks some other bitch. And, yeah, that was that. Next up, Sami Callihan went one-on-one with BB Hulk, and to me that was just like a dream match in itself because I'm a huge fan of Sami and a huge fan of BB Hulk. And, yes, they started out with Sami attacking the legs, which was, you know, great to do and attack the legs to break down the guy that could hit you with, you know, kicks from every angle in the world. So that was, you know, good psychology and stuff to actually have him really targeting, you know, the main offensive point of BB Hulk. They had Christina Bonieri come out, and she was teasing joining the Dirty Ugly Fucks. And she, you know, went over there, she came out, and she was, you know, locking eyes with Sami and all that. And, you know, he's blowing her kisses. And I guess if you're a smart mark type thing, you kind of knew it wasn't going to go that way. But, you know, everybody, you know, on the surface was like, uh-oh, he's going to join the UF. But, no, yeah, you know, that wasn't what happened. She swerved Sami, drank the bottle that BB Hulk brings out, and, spit it in Sammy's face. And, BB Hulk picked up the win. Straight up awesome match, though. I mean, there's not a lot bad I could say about the match. I really didn't expect anything more or less. I mean, it was very good. And that's more or less it. After the match, Sami is pretty pissed off, and he starts cutting a promo on how he's going to kill Sabu the next day. And lights go out, come back on, Sabu's in there attacking Sami. DUF attacks Sabu, and John Davis comes in with the save, and it's John Davis and Sabu versus Pinky and Eric Cannon. Street fight rules. Sabu and John Davis, when John Davis hits like a spinning powerbomb type joint, Sami comes back at the end to attack Sabu, and they pretty much leave it at that, you know, teasing for the next night. So they do that. That was pretty good stuff. I mean, it wasn't the best thing in the world, wasn't the worst thing in the world. I really like John Davis. He's a fucking animal. He's the big guy that a lot of companies need, and CZW included. They need, you know, a guy that could just launch people around and shit, and he's really good at that. So I do like his work quite a bit. Then you had Masaki Mochizuki and Akira Tozawa one-on-one. And at this point, of course, you got Tozawa coming out with BB Hulk and Christina Von Erie. And you got your stable over there. This was a great match. Stiff as fuck. I mean, Masaki Mochizuki wins with a kick off the top rope. He's another one of these guys that can kick you from 8 different fucking places at once. Like, he's nasty. He's a stiff, hard-kicking motherfucker. Definitely like his work. Tozawa was awesome. So, you know, these two really went in. It was definitely hard-hitting. Then post-match, Von Erie does some more heel shit, hits Mochizuki in the dick, you know, the whole deal. Next up, they brought out Johnny Vandal, and he went up against Samurai Del Sol. Del Sol's an awesome, awesome lucha guy. Johnny Vandal, I've never seen this guy before, and I think they more or less just were using him to be like the, just the guy to showcase Samurai Del Sol with. Like, he was just more or less his dance partner. It wasn't like they were really doing a whole lot with him, and they were just trying to, like, I guess, show Samurai Del Sol a little bit, you know, using this guy. So that's what they did. Next matchup, the big dream match, the one that everybody spent their big $2 for, Low-Key versus Pac. I mean, it started out with a lot of grappling, builds up to a bunch of strikes. Eric Cannon is doing a commentary on it, and he quotes the Briscoes. Terry Funk never wore a mouthpiece. Yeah, I mean, doing the whole shit because, you know, Low-Key's got the mouthpiece and all that. But, Yeah, Loki wins Warrior's way. He'll stomp off the top joint. Matches off the hook. Key put it over Pac huge after the show, and he called him incredible and all of that. You know that Loki is not easily impressed. So, you know, going through that match and having Loki straight up fucking winded after the match, you know, saying how amazing that, you know, that Pac is and how he'd love to do it again. And, you know, he can't wait to wrestle him again and all of that stuff. And, yeah, it was good stuff. Exactly what I would expect out of that match. See, I don't have a lot of bad stuff to say about these two shows. It's kind of a letdown. Usually I have some shit to rip apart, but I really don't have much bad. So you know, I took what notes I could and you know, whatever, but yeah, it was fucking good stuff. And I still am leaning more and more the more I see of his work. And I've seen quite a bit in the past, too, but I'm watching more of it on a regular basis now. And I'm telling you, I got to think that Pac is the best high flyer in the business right now. I don't know. I could be wrong. But he's so well-rounded. He's not just high-flying, but when it comes down to the flying he does, he can fucking do anything. He's very, very fucking versatile with all sorts of different wrestling. And, you know, on top of that, some of the flips he could do is just ridiculous. So that's kind of why I give him the nod on that. I mean, you look at some of those guys, and I haven't seen Jack, you know, Evans work in a while. I haven't really seen him around. I know he did a whole lot of Mexico. He might still be in Mexico. And, you know, his thing is he's always been almost completely high-flying. And, you know, he does a lot of little Lucha stuff and all of that. But, I mean, he can't do any, like, half of the like power moves and shit like that Pac could do. But, I mean, you know, not to just bash Jack or anything like that. He's a tremendously fucking talented dude. And you know, I love watching his work, too. Just, I mean, even to bring Jack up is just more or less a comparison of another guy who's one of the top high flyers in the business. So, you know, one of those guys. But, and he bumps like a fucking madman. But, yeah. So then you had the main event. Johnny Gargano, Chuck Taylor versus Ricochet, and Masato Yoshino. So, Ricochet and Chuck always have awesome chemistry. I mean, you got to know that. I mean, they came up together and all that. They traveled together for all those years and pretty much working each other on every card they were on. You know, working with each other, tagging, or I mean, they were always working. So that's you know, you could expect when you see those two in the ring, you know, on the other sides of the ring, you're going to see great chemistry in a match, and you know, that's exactly what you got. Johnny looked great in his return. You know, they were showing 2 days worth of Johnny promos and, you know, how he grew up wanting to wrestle and, you know, he's always so into it. And I showed all sorts of pictures of him being this little chubby kid that just liked wrestling. And then, you know, going from that to explaining what happened on the last arena show where he lost feeling in his legs and he wrestled the majority of the match with no feeling in his legs and pretty crazy stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it was good stuff. He definitely, you know, went in there and you really didn't see anything. He didn't come up short or he didn't look like he had a whole lot of rust on him. He looked great. So, yeah, a huge double team sequence by Ricochet and Yoshino. Taylor pulled Gargano off to steal the pin. 6:30 by Ricochet. Taylor submits. New open, the United Gate Tag Champions, Yoshino and Ricochet. Yeah, it was afterwards, you know, it was a great match and everything. And then afterwards, Chuck Taylor turned and super kicked Gargano post-match. And that was that. Swan came in for the save just to, you know, ward off Taylor or whatever. Cena and them just looked confused. And, you know, they were all in there. And, yeah, that was the show. So, yeah, I mean, great show. That show right there cost $2. You know what I mean? So, I have no idea how you can get any more for your $2 than what they put on. And, yeah, good stuff. Again, I highly recommend people pick that up. I'd imagine you can go get it somewhere, you know. Check that out. Next show, Dragon Gate USA on Saturday. They started out the show with John Davis versus Bobby Fish. This was like speed and strikes versus power. Great, you know, mix of styles and everything. Another great opener. Bobby Fish ends up winning the match, you know, overcoming the power of John Davis and wins with a fish hook. And, yeah, another really good match. And Pac comes out after the match and challenges Low-Ki by asking to replace Seema in the main. Chuck Taylor comes out and says if Pac is in the main event, it's going to be a Chuck Taylor Invitational instead, because originally it was supposed to be a Pac Invitational aerial whatever match in the middle of the card. You know, he had a bunch of people up in there. And so he decided it's going to be a Chuck Taylor Invitational if Pac's going to be in the main event. So they do that. Next up, they had Eric Cannon with Pinky against A.R. Fox. And they had Colt Cabana on commentary. So, Fox did like a bunch of, you know, his normal stuff. Eric Cannon was, you know, hard-hitting doing his shit. It was another good, you know, clash of styles and a bunch of different stuff going on. Fox hit a 450 to the outside with, like, little to no spot. I'm glad he didn't get hurt or nothing like that, but I don't know where the fucking spot was on that, but they got the fuck out of the way. Like, it was pretty crazy. Must have went right somehow because he didn't get hurt or nothing, so. But it didn't look like he hit a whole lot of fucking humans, so maybe a little bit. Sammy comes in, hits A.R. Fox with the chair when he's going for the low main pain. A.R. Fox gets the win from a DQ off of that. Sammy spits a dip in Fox's face and calls out Sabu. Sabu, you know, comes out. The DUF is jumping him to start the match. You know, it's a no DQ or, you know, whatever you call it, a street fight. So they're jumping him. They're beating the shit out of him and all that. John Davis comes out and battles to the back, takes out Pinky and Cannon. And, you know, starting out the match, you know, I said in the past two, Sabu's kind of hit and miss. And Sabu blew his triple jump splash to the outside. He jumped off the chair and crotched himself on the top rope without nobody, like, pushing him or distracting him. Like, he was definitely supposed to hit that dive, and he just crotched himself on the top rope, and they recovered off of that. That was the only, like, big, you know, big botch, I guess. I mean, the other thing is, a little bit more into the match, he got cut, quote unquote, busted open, and so happened he busted his fingers and his head open at the same time. So I guess in a roundabout way you can call that a botch too, because you could do the math. But so yeah, he was bleeding from his hand and his head. And Davis and John Davis comes back in, battling Pinky and Cannon and stuff. They're battling, so now they're all set up on the outside, and Sabu hits his splash. So he hit it the second time around. Fox hits the low main pain on Sammy. Sabu wins with the Arabian Facebuster through a table on Sammy. Sammy just starts destroying refs, and then that Johnny Vandal guy comes out, and he gets the shit kicked out of him, and that whole thing. It was a great brawl. I thought, other than, you know, the few little things there, and I'm just nitpicking, but I thought it was a good brawl. It did what it was supposed to do. Then you had the Chuck Taylor Invitational, or whatever you want to call it. They had Lucy Dorado, Samurai Del Sol, Rich Swan, and Seema, and Chuck Taylor gets on the mic and he starts saying, "I hate luchadors, I can't stand this luchador crap," and da-da-da-da-da. So El Generico's music hits. El Generico comes in for the big surprise. He comes out. This was just, you know, a fun scramble, a lot of spots all over the place. Generico ends up winning with the Brain Buster. And then after the match, Seema and DJ Hyde come to the ring. And they announce a big super weekend in Jersey for the WrestleMania weekend next year. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess it has some relevance or whatever like that, but I don't like this year in advance shit. I don't like from the Roxina shit to the, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ. It's not that necessary, but whatever. I mean, that's cool. I'll figure out, you know, with my schedule next year, you know, whether I'm able to do it or not. I'd like to. I mean, it's in Jersey and all that, but, I mean, you got to figure. I'm going to WrestleMania. Well, that's a Sunday. But Sunday nights, so I might need to take the Monday off. And I don't know. I got to figure it out. So this will be my first WWE show at all to go into, let alone WrestleMania. So I want to do WrestleMania. I'd like to do that access thing if I could, but I don't even know about that either. I'm not going to put too much time into it. But see what's up. And if I could work some of that other shit in there, cool. You know, I'm with it. So how was that? Los Bendejos then wrestled the Scene. And yeah, never seen those guys before either. Chuck Taylor was on commentary, and he's just fucking hilarious. And yeah, the Scene ended up winning, and that was that. Then Johnny Gargano and Yoshino went at it for the title. Great showing by both. Gargano retains. Great match. A lot of false finishes down the stretch, like false finish galore. Like, you really didn't know who was going to come out on top. They went at it. That was that. And then the main event was Loki, Akira Tozawa, and BB Hulk versus Pac, Ricochet, and Mochizuki. I mean, if you can't figure out by the fucking names I just read off that match was fucking unbelievable, then you need to watch some more of these guys. It was definitely 5 stars. I mean, this was a great way to cap off the weekend. And, yeah, just great shit. Yeah, Tozawa ended up winning with a straightjack deadlift suplex joint. Just, again, tons of finishes, tons of just back and forth and just fast-paced shit. I don't think you could ask a whole lot more from that match. Good stuff. So yeah, that was the Dragon Gate USA weekend. I would, you know, think you guys would not be upset if you went and, you know, found that wherever you found it, or, you know, bought it or downloaded it, or I don't know the best way to do it. You got to figure that out yourself. But yeah, you find somewhere to purchase it, go right ahead, because it's well worth it. Definitely for me, under $20. Watching those two shows for the weekend, I didn't pay for the WWE shit, but believe me, it was worth more than the WWE shit. And fucking $60, $70 or some shit like that. That bullshit. I ain't fucking with that. So, yeah, that's that. I'm going to try to, you know, play a song or something and then come back to this, because I got a bunch of shit to get to, but kind of fucking tired tonight. I'll work into it. It'll be all good. Let me see what I want to play. Let me get some George Jetson. There you go.
K-Snake! Drum King!
They come around just to, they coming from out of town just to, they kicking the door down just to, cause they know I put it down, nigga. That's my nigga Money L. Boss City ain't getting that money well. Yeah, that's baby girl. She keep a nigga out of jail.
They call me George Jetson. Why? Cause I hop out to the Lex and hop inside the Jetson. My niggas too. Security don't touch them, see private. So that mean even my tech company call me the future. I cock the 40 and shoot ya. Have money, L recorded, put it on the computer. YouTube, you dudes need to call me the
tutor. I'm blowing fogs, I'm a dog, and I ought to be neutered. They thought I was foolish. Nah, I'm just too crazy. They thought I was stupid till I showed them the new phase. Thought it was Cupid till I hopped out with two babies and the S6 folded into my suitcase. Now they can't understand what it is when the truth is that it ain't nothing. I just handle my biz. I'm a hood vandal that wood panel defends. I'm getting dough with my men. Bitch, tell all your friends they call me George. They come around just to. They coming from out of town just to. They kicking the door down just to. Cause they know I put it down, nigga. That's my nigga Money L. R.C. getting that money well. That's baby girl. Yeah, nigga, it's the name and Gill is the set. I turn down deals, I rip up your checks. I'm a digital nigga, keep a clip in the tech. And I don't go to sleep, bitch, I take the chip out my neck. Program to blow scrams, the fuck up out of shoes. If you frontin', tell me what the fuck am I to do. It ain't nothing to have blood coming out of you. Stop stunting, cause that's something I don't wanna do. I'm trying to chill, nigga, so put away yourself. I'm too lazy to walk, I'm on a conveyor belt. So Mercedes is smart and drive and stay itself. I match whatever you got, make your bet. I'm a future thug, yeah, you heard me on the chorus. I'm swerving in suburban to the house in the forest. With Money L, the nigga, I shout on the chorus. I don't mean a car when I say I got a Ford Taurus.
Yeah, man. So, I want a quick shout out, Eric Riles before I forget. Dude, you know, he works over there for CZW and whatnot, but he does awesome graphics. If you've seen the new graphic he did for me, just the other night, another Yakuza logo and shit, you know, might be making a shirt out of that, or might be, you know, working with him on some other stuff, get another, you know, logo or design going and do different things. I'm going to toy around with a couple different ideas before, you know, I make new shirts, because I still got, you know, these ones right now, but I am definitely going to be placing a second order once I'm out of these ones, and you know, come up with another thing and end that whole thing like that. So I'm going to toy around with it. The dude's got talent, so by all means, we'll definitely be hitting him up for some stuff there. Oh, a little bit of sports talk real quick. Well, Miami Heat. Yeah, it's my boys over there. Well, last night they beat the Thunder.
Fuck you, Thunder! You can suck my dick.
That's right. Pull that clip just for them. And, I mean, the Thunder are a great team, but that's what happened. And, you know, we're turning up going towards playoff time. It's not that far off, so it's going down. Another thing that I just saw today, because, you know, been talking about everything. You know, I'm always talking about everything from Niners, but you know, all of a sudden they released audio because they're compiling their case on this fucking douchebag defensive coordinator from the Saints, and they released audio that I caught tonight, and I don't have the audio, but I listened to it because that's how prepared I get for the show. And well, this fucking guy, before the playoff game that they played against our boys, that he was going all out. He wanted Gore hurt. He wanted Smith hurt. He wanted Vernon Davis hurt. He wanted Crabtree. He wanted everybody hurt. And he was calling them one by one. And he's like, I want you guys to twist Frank Gore's head sideways. And, oh, they're like, twist his fucking head off. And, you know, I don't want this motherfucker seeing straight anymore. Like, straight up. Like, he was like, oh, hit Vernon Davis in his knees. I don't want him to be able to walk after this game. I want him hurt. I want him gone. And, oh, let's see if Crabtree wants to play big boy ball, and we'll see how big he is, and I want you taking him down, and let's see how often we have to rush Alex before we get him out of the game. And, like really, like, calling motherfuckers out by name. Like, I want that guy hurt, and that guy hurt, and that guy hurt. And all I got to say is, how did that work out for you cocksuckers? You go into the fucking playoffs, you go out of your way to actually try to hurt us. We put on the best fucking playoff game that happened in NFL football last year. And who came out on top? That's crazy, because we just hit hard. That's what we do. We went out there, we hit hard, we beat the shit out of the fucking Saints team, and we weren't trying to fucking hurt nobody. We were just playing the football that we play. So, see you next year. Oh, yeah, probably won't. unless we play in the regular season, which I'm not sure of. But, yeah, good luck making the playoffs with all that shit. I mean, you got a lot of players on your team that aren't even down with the shit and want to bail after what happened last year, and I don't blame them. And all that has to happen, I've heard rumors of it, but I'm sure you guys are going to hold on with a death grip. But, yeah, if Drew Brees actually gets off of that fucking team, like he's, I guess, mentioned or hinted or, you know, whatever the case may be, if he gets off that team, you guys will go back into the same fucking slump that you were in before you won the Super Bowl for, I don't know, how many years? Oh, the history of your team? Yeah, that's pretty much what you're looking at, because Drew Brees is your fucking Jesus Christ. And if you, you know, if you destroyed the morale of that team enough where you're going to want guys like that are going to want off your team, you can say goodbye to all that shit. You might as well start selling your jerseys now while they're still worth $5, because fuck that. Fuck that. Yeah, man. I ain't having it. I ain't having that shit at all. I took offense to that shit because, I mean, who the fuck are you? You know, really? I want to hurt your running back. I want to hurt you this. I want to hurt you. You know, that team over there had one of the most high-powered offenses in the fucking NFL. And if you really feel like your defense has to go out there and actually try to injure people and take money out their fucking pocket and put people out of work and all of that shit, I mean, that's crazy. Possibly end motherfuckers' careers because you want to win a game. I mean, your offense was doing that without your defensive coordinator being an asshole. So I can't imagine what would even possess somebody to go that route. It's not like I could see, and it wouldn't be right, but I could see if they were the Ravens or they were the 49ers, a defensive fucking minded team that were going out there and just crushing people with high impact tackles and shit like that. That's how we play. That's how the Ravens play. And that's how, you know what I mean? So if you were a team that didn't have an offense and you relied on your defense getting in, you know, and the defensive coordinator got a little ahead of himself and started talking about, take him out and take it. It's not right, but I would understand it a little more. And again, it's not just because it's us that I'm talking about. It's just like a defensive-sided team. Like, our defense defined us. Without our defense, Alex Smith, he wasn't going to fucking lead the league in anything, and he didn't lead the league in anything. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we had a lot of good pieces that came together, but our defense was definitely the defensive side of the ball was our strong point. And then we made things happen on the offensive side. Now we got a lot of weapons on the offensive side, and our defense is just as beastly. So, man, I know it's fucking April, and I'm talking about football already, but Jesus Christ, I can't get enough. So, yeah, that's that. I think I'm done with football for tonight. Yeah, you guys can hope. So, anyway, some more random news. Where's the clip? I need a clip for that. Well, before I get there, there's a Texas Federation. I'm going to be all over the place tonight. There was a Texas Federation. Apparently these fucking Texans are so fucking crazy that they announced it was like a tag team match. And it was like Necro and I think Chewy Martinez versus like two other guys I never heard of. And it was a Fans Bring the Weapons match. It was listed as Fans Bring the Weapons, and then right under it said right under the Fans Bring the Weapons title, it said in quotes, "No guns or knives." Like, you crazy southern motherfuckers actually got to be told that shit? Or are you going to be pulling a gun from out under the seat and bringing it in the building? You bitches are crazy. Hold on, I think I got one on the line. You.
What's up, baby?
Hey, what's up, man?
On the road, that's where I'm at right now, listening to you.
Cool, cool. So what's up with you?
What did I miss?
I talked about the Dragon Gate shows and they were banging. I was just talking about oh yeah, definitely. I read just the other day that some Fed in Texas was running a Fans Bring the Weapons match, and they had Necro and Chewy Martinez versus two other guys, and they actually had to put no guns or knives.
Oh, they convinced you come from Texas, dude. You know,
these southern
motherfuckers
are crazy. These southern motherfuckers are crazy. If they said Fans Bring the Weapons, dude's really pulling the shotgun from out under the seat to bring it in the building.
Yo, it's Texas, yo. What the fuck?
That shit don't make no sense. It's not legal to shoot motherfuckers in the ring.
I mean, if they're licensed, I mean, shit. They take it to heart, hell yeah, they're going to bring a fucking gun. Like, what the fuck do you think is going to happen?
I don't know, man. That's crazy stuff.
That's the greatest shit I heard in my life, yo.
Said in big-ass letters and quotes, no guns or knives. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I reposted this shit. I don't give a fuck about the show, and I just reposted it because like, other people gotta read that shit.
I heard all day, man. Like, seriously, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Another crazy fucking stupid thing that I heard. Apparently, they're making a Twins Part 2. And,
what?
Yeah. Remember the movie Twins?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
really?
Well, they're making Twins Part 2, and this one, you know, Arnold and Danny DeVito, they're going to find out that there's a third twin. And that twin is going to be played by none other than Eddie Murphy.
How racist is that fucking movie, dude?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen you before. You're the asshole on TV.
Exactly.
Holy shit, I'm dead ass
serious about that. That shit is not even a joke. I heard that shit earlier today. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
And the Three Stooges, it's gonna bomb, dude. I'm sorry. That movie looks like it's gonna bomb, like, hard.
Oh, well, you know, the three of them have been putting on such blockbusters lately that I'm sure everyone will be upset.
Like, I'm saying, the dude from Mad TV, are you fucking kidding me?
Who's from Mad TV?
The dude who's playing Curly. He's from, like, Mad TV before the show, like, kicked him off the air and shit.
Will Sasso.
Yeah, that asshole.
Yeah, but I ain't talking about... I said twins.
I know, but I'm saying, though, like...
Oh, you're bringing up Three Stooges.
Yeah, why a sequel to Twins, though? Like, I don't get that shit.
I don't know. That's a lot of years ago.
I know, man. It's like 88, 89. I was a kid about when that came out.
I think I seen that shit in the movie theater, and I was like, fucking, I don't know how old I was. If it was 88, I was 10.
I forgot that you're old as fucking dirt.
Yeah, you wasn't even born then, right?
No, I was born 83, dude. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I was about to tell you about that shit. Like, hey,
88,
back when I was a kid.
I was in kindergarten, man.
Fucking call me old and shit.
It's all right, man. I'll be hitting 29 this year.
Yeah, one more year till 30, huh? After that. That's the move. That's when shit starts getting fucked up.
I know.
Yeah, man. So, you hear Ooh-Ha Nation's out for a year, man.
Why?
He tore some shit in his knee.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let me see. I have to fucking...
You know, it's kind of tough for indie guys to tear something, to fucking major league guys to tear something, because they got the treatment on this shit, dude.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good at all. He's out for a minute now.
Wow.
They tore his patella.
His spot got the open spot for the best of the best then.
Yep, they're going to fill the spot. We're not sure with who yet. We're going to see what goes on there, but yeah, the spot is open.
Bring back the fucking Masato Tanaka clone.
Masato Tanaka clone?
Yeah, man, when Masato Tanaka was younger, that's who remind me of. Like, the dude does it. I can't pronounce his name. Fucking, I can't. No Japanese names for me. I suck at it.
You talking about Sakimoto?
Yeah, there you go. He was at the last of Best of the Best.
Yeah, well, that ain't easy. Like, hey, you know, just flying someone else from Japan. Like, nah. I'm actually going the other direction with that. I think they should just put Latin Dragon in there.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, the dude he's improved tremendously. And the thing is like, that's a dude that's going to be right there anyway. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be chilling in the building most likely anyway. You know, I don't know for sure, but I'm saying, like, he's more of a local dude. And rather than trying to pull a big name and try to, you know, fill someone's shoes and have, like, another you know, top guy. Like, why not a, you know, hungry, young, up-and-coming guy that's going to fill the spot and he's going to do his thing just to be in it. But it's not, you know what I mean? It's not going to be like, all right, we'll spend another grand just to fucking get this guy here. And it'll probably cost even more than that to fly in from Japan type shit, so.
I'm just saying, I just want to see that fucking match tonight. Look, I watched it on YouTube between him and Sami Callihan.
Oh, yeah.
Holy fuck.
What was that in Last Best of the Best?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome. I was there live. It was phenomenal. I haven't messed with Best of the Best yet.
Yo, that's an incredible fuck. That was an incredible match. I was like, damn.
You going to Voorhees watch that shit?
I'm going to try, dude. Remember, I got to work and, you know, I have a kid on the way and shit.
Wow.
I'm
going to try. Fuck
out
of here.
I
mean,
because my first baby, man.
Yeah, well, that's why you got to go before the baby. Because once it's here, man, this is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, fuck
babysitters
that.
And everything
I'm
else.
I'm going to WrestleMania, dude.
Yeah, all right, motherfucker. You babysitting. You ain't doing shit.
He or she is coming with me. Like, we're going to WrestleMania, little guy.
Yeah, all right. You ain't going to be doing shit.
You're right.
You're going to be rocking the cradle watching that shit on fucking live stream on your computer and shit. Like, damn, I wish y'all was there. Why is this shit lagging? What the fuck? Oh, that's what you're going to be doing. But, yeah, I mean, Best of the Best is like this, in case you don't know. What they got right now is they still got 12 people. It ended up 13 because they added Drake. So they got MK McKinnon and Trent Seven. Tread Seven's apparently like the booker of that Fight Club pro shit over there. So that's those guys that wrestled Philly's Most Wanted in November and was no good. You know, the biggest defense of that is they keep saying that MK McKinnon had a great match against Adam Cole. I'm like, oh, well, I'm sure he created that. I mean, Adam Cole's fucking great. Like, what do you expect?
He's a nice guy, too. I met him.
Oh, yeah, he's super cool. Then you got Alex Colon. A.R. Fox, Willie Mack from out there, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Chuck Taylor, Sami Callihan, ACH, and I don't know if you've seen ACH before. Have you seen him?
I heard, but I haven't seen him in action yet.
He's nasty. If you look up ACH versus A.R. Fox, you'll see a dope-ass match that they had out there. And this is, I think, like Beyond Wrestling or one of them joints where they don't have, like, a live crowd. They have more or less, like, the bands.
It's more like an internet wrestling type deal, right?
Yeah, like that type of thing. Yeah, but he's severely talented. Like, the dude's got all sorts of silly shit to pull out.
Yo, A.R. Fox is a monster, too, man. I watched some of his matches. Holy shit, like that. Jumping back, like, diving cutter type shit?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that diving ace crusher shit, yep. Yeah, they got him. They got Johnny Gargano, who he just came back from his injuries and shit. He's looking great. Lince Dorado. Samurai Del Sol, who's awesome. I don't know if you've seen that dude. He's smaller than he looks on video, but he's really good. Super lucha talent.
Is that the dude with the mask?
Yeah. He's a little lucha guy, but he's really good.
I've seen a couple of his matches.
Yeah, he had a great match against, again, A.R. Fox over in, I think that was like the Indiana show that they did Super Bowl weekend, I want to say.
Yeah.
That joint. And then you got Drake Younger. So that's the thing. Right now what they got is all the other matches and the other rounds are going to be one-on-ones. But the first round is going to be a four-way, and then the rest are three-ways. So the first four-way you got is Sami Callihan versus Drake Younger versus MK McKinnon versus Trent Seven, four-way.
That's going to be hard-hitting right there, dude.
Yep. And I'm hoping those two English motherfuckers get knocked the fuck out. I don't know. They're horrible, man. They're fucking horrible.
That's the best thing. That's the best England got.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's just that...
I know there's a lot of good fucking English guys out there.
Oh, yeah, there is. There is. I'm not just shitting on their country or nothing like that. I'm just saying, like, anything that I've seen that they sent over from that Fight Club Pro bullshit has been garbage. Complete garbage. They sent over two kids. It was, like, Kid Fight, like, F-I-T-E. So I guess they can't spell over that motherfucking either. And... then they had, and some other kid, and they had like a dark match. Like these motherfuckers came from England or wherever the fuck they come from for a dark match. And that shit was fucking horrendous. Like nobody gave a fuck. Like it was horrible. And then the next thing you saw was fucking MK McKinnon and Trent Seven go up against Philly's Most Wanted and look like shit. Like complete, like blown spots from start to finish. And then all DJ and anybody else that are backing these guys are saying is like, oh, you should see their stuff in England. You should see their stuff over there. You should see their stuff. And I seen when CZW toured over there. And again, yeah, have a good match with Adam Cole. That's, whose credit is that? Like, that's like saying, you know, and not to just say that, you know, everybody's fucking Dean Malenko or Jerry Lynn. But just imagine, hey, oh, he had a good match with Jerry Lynn. Like, yeah, and? You know what I mean? Well, like, and? Don't make you look good. A guy like that will make you look good.
For Jerry Lynn's age, he can still work, but I'm just saying, though, it's just Jerry Lynn. Like, all right.
But that's like a Jerry Lynn. Jerry Lynn knows how to make other people look good. So when you've seen a lot of people that weren't that great in with Jerry Lynn in ECW days, and they looked fucking the best they ever looked because Jerry Lynn knew how to do that. Same thing Adam Cole. He's a great wrestler. And he's got a lot of good-looking offense, too, where Jerry Lynn, that's the thing about him. I never thought he had as good-looking offense as he did making the other person look good. So people put
man.
A little...
He's huh? good. I like... He can work, dude. Like, Adam
no,
Cole,
I like Jerry Lynn. But like I said, like he seemed to spend more of his career trying to make other people look good than he did himself. And I think that's where he fell flat on the WWE side of things.
Yeah, but the thing is, he was signed before, and that was it. He was signed with WCW. He had a mask
yeah.
and everything, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And he took the mask off, and that's where he got the Jerry Lynn from, that he was wrestling there for maybe 2 years.
Right.
And he left WCW to go ECW, and they put him on the mat pretty much. That's where he got his name from. He wrestled ROH, had a world title.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, it's... Believe me, it's not a knock on Jerry Lynn whatsoever. It's what I'm saying is Jerry Lynn can make anybody look good, and Adam Cole making this guy look good in fucking England or wherever the fuck he's from don't mean shit to me. So I'll see what he does at Best of the Best. He's going to be in there with Sami Callihan and Drake Younger, Trent
oh
Seven guy.
No,
you,
you
know what I mean?
You'd be the one to voice your fucking opinion there, too.
I surely will, because honestly, they're the only two guys on the tournament that I'm not convinced about. And then you got... Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano, and Sam Ray Del Sol in a three-way for the second bracket. And, I mean, what can you say? I mean, right there, Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano tagged up for all that time in, you know, in Dragon Gate. They just now split up. So, I mean, you're going to see huge chemistry there. And Sam Ray Del Sol's awesome fucking worker. So you're going to see good stuff.
I like Chuck Taylor's move, too, man. He got some great fucking... He can work, too. Shit.
Yeah, and then bracket three, they haven't announced the fourth bracket yet, but you can kind of do the math and then add one more guy because, you know, Uha's out. And they've announced that they're actually going to replace him, so they're not going to just break it down to 12. But bracket three is ACH, Lince Dorado, and AR Fox. So what AR Fox and ACH were able to do in the ring there, that right there is going to be the shit.
I know who's gonna replace who's gonna replace Uha Nation. I know who's gonna do it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be Thick Nick Mondo.
Yeah, No, I don't think so. I don't think that's gonna happen. So I don't know. I mean, there's some people that do say some good things about MK McKinnon. So you know, I heard he was in the Young Lions Cup. I actually just got a message from Lyle. Shout out Lyle. Best photographer in independent wrestling. And, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, I'll be the judge of it. I have a complete open mind towards it. Of course,
God,
the match in CCW, you know, completely sucked. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, ACH, Lindsay Dorado, AR Fox. That leaves you with Alex Colon and Willie Mack with one more person to be announced. So you got a hell of a fucking tourney right there. And then you got Jake Crist and Dave Crist squaring off for the Wired title. So you know... those boys go hard. So non-tournament, you got those two going for the Wired title one-on-one. They've been killing each other month after month and doing a lot of stuff there. So, it's going to be a great show.
He's a nice guy, too, man. Very humble. I heard the interview on the way home.
Jake, yeah, a lot more people need to listen to that interview, man. I can't believe how low my listens are on that, and I couldn't have been happier with that dude. He was just a phenomenal guest.
He was incredible, dude. Like, he's a very humble guy. Like, he's not like, you know, other dudes. He's a real dude.
I didn't expect anything less than that, you know, out of him. He was a great dude for sure, and I mean, super talented. The two of them are really, really talented dudes. I'd like to see them back in the tag team too eventually. Obviously, this feud is going awesome, so they could keep this going as long as they would like to. I have no problem in the world with that. But I mean, they're great together. They're great apart. They're just tremendous workers. And you know, like Jake said, I mean, they really want to try their hand at singles wrestling and, you know, see where they can go with this. And sky's the limit for those guys. They're beyond talented. They could do so much in the ring and very big assets to a company. So, I mean, I personally would expect those two guys to be in a tournament like Best of the Best because they're that caliber talent. But, you know, as a non-tournament match, I don't think you can ask for anything more. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Maybe next year you'll see him there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, these are definitely guys that are capable of winning a Best of the Best, each one of them. So, I mean, I'm sure they'll be in huge competition for that, as competitive as they are.
You heard about Brody Lee, right? He got signed?
Yeah, he got signed. Yeah, well deserved, man. He's
I was probably late as hell. I'm sorry that, you know, I've been reading up, trying to follow, but, you know, I've been working and shit.
Yeah, you ain't got a fucking iPod you can plug into your ears while you work?
I don't, not yet. Remember, my number one goal, I want my kids to have everything, dude.
I hear you. The one thing your kid should have is a father with an iPod, you know?
I had one, dude, and it fell apart because it got old.
Fell apart? Shit.
I had an old one.
Ah.
You know, metal, like, Nanos? I had one of those, and it fell apart.
That's a shame.
So now I'm going to try to invest in, again, the iPod Touch. Oh, future shit.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm going to play another little track right quick, and then I want to get into WrestleMania if you want to hang.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, cool. Let me play this track here.
Who's it by?
Huh?
Who's it by?
I'm going to play an old Cannabis freestyle.
Word up. Yo, what up? This is Cannabis about the blackout, representing Group Home. Shout out to Lost Boys, Def Squad, Charles Soup, Mr. Sex, DJ Clue, and Desert Storm. Let's drop it. Speaker frequencies, dogs will have trouble hearing. Cannabis is the lyrical version of German engineering. Raw metaphors keep you high for months. Fly around the earth twice without refueling once. Ain't too many categories I can fit in when it comes to spitting. Cause I'm overqualified for the position. The laser guided, lyrical hybrid, creating scripts so sick. I gotta arm wrestle my pen to write it. Don't get excited, cause if I ever catch one of you wannabes biting, we're gonna be fist fighting. So motherfuckers, what you want? I got the shotgun pump. You feel like a frog, nigga, that jumps.
jump. I possess the lyrical ammo to battle or rip any one of you warm-blooded mammals to shambles. I make examples and you will eat a mouthful of your crew. The type of MC you can't outdo. I batter you on the net. I batter you in the flesh. I batter you over the phone. You can call me collect. I batter you for the respect. I batter you over a blank check. I batter you with a gun to my neck. I batter you standing over the toilet with my dick out. I batter you juggling a hand grenade with the pin out. In a stolen car with the VIN number ripped out. Drinking a Guinness style, doing a 360 spin out. I stay right just like Farrakhan puffing on the marijuana. You understand where I'm coming from? You number one, then I'm negative two. Basically, nigga, that means I'm still better than you. Basic mathematics, the verbal mechanics of rhyming. Behold, I crush a piece of coal and create a diamond. On the microphone, I'm sicker than those who've acquired immune deficiency syndromes. And every word I utter for hip-hop lovers will reflect forever like two mirrors facing each other. The baddest, M. Other, F. Ucker. Let me break the style down so you don't have to wonder. I walk the B-lock with the G-lock, C-ox, trying to get the D-R-op on the C-ops. Low spot, capsized boats, shipwreck yachts. Headshots hit you with 300 nautical knots. You calling the cops, complaining about the hip-hop. Getting Benjamins like the L-ox, it don't stop. Put away your burners, you can't service. My whole camp is allergic to being murdered. Metaphors is proof, I got more than just a couple screws loose. Latinos call me the Black Jesus. So for all who believe the telekinesis of Jesus, I touch the paraplegic and heal them.
Yeah, man, that was one of my favorite old cannabis freestyles.
I know, that's what cannabis was. Cannabis, boy, that man was a monster, shit.
Yeah, he turned into a scientist and that shit went south, so he got all apologetic and shit. He destroyed LL, in my opinion. I had a lot of friends that they were on LL's side with that one, but I considered LL a legend that got his ass ripped open by fucking cannabis, and then cannabis got all sad because he respected the legend too much and he was sorry for doing it. Yeah, that whole shit ruined him after that.
What the fuck? Second round knockout was one of the greatest disses in the world. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. But then he got all sorry about it. So, what
did
he do?
Well, you know, he had that voice when he sounds different now. He don't sound like that no more.
Yeah, he got all mellow. But, one thing I wanted to add, too, about the replacement thing. Like I said, Latin Dragons got my vote just because, like I said, it's an easy booking, I think. I think the dude would just be super excited to be in it. I think he's young, he's hungry, he's a guy who's going to play a role, he's going to do a great thing in there. Now, I've seen a lot of people, you know, asking who they would want. You put your vote in for flying a guy in from Japan, which is, you know, sounds nice, but pretty expensive and pretty hard to pull off on the fly. You know, I'm sure this guy's got plans for the year as well, and the month.
Or B-Boy, I'll be a nice replacement too, shit.
B-Boy would not be bad either because, I mean, that's a Cali booking. But, I mean, Willie Mac's coming in. Not that you get, like, a discount. I don't think B-Boy could fit into Willie Mac's fucking suitcase. So, if they're flying Willie in, I don't think you could just, hey, throw B-Boy in the plane with you. Nah, it's going to cost another plane ticket either way. So, again, not as cost-effective. I'd love to see him. But another guy that a lot of people are fucking hollering for is Super Dragon. And let me be the first to say, I don't want Super Dragon in fucking CZW right now. He is a fat bag of shit.
He did gain some weight, dude. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. He looks like one of the leaf bags I have out front of my house right now. And
yeah, he did gain some weight, dude. I mean, I would like to see Super Dragon, but shit, he did get fat. Fat Dragon. No offense, I mean, I respect the shit out of him, but because, like, I like his run in CZW back a few years ago, but...
Oh, he did a lot of entertaining shit, but I'm just saying, right now, I mean, you want to fly him in, it's a fly-in, plus it's I mean, you're going to have to get the seatbelt extenders, I think that costs more money.
He can get
and
that
then, like,
back.
The...
Yeah, dude, it's a beer belly, that's all.
Now, you're going to need the seatbelt extenders. They need, the extra room seat. I think you need an upgrade on the flight on that shit. It's just, it seems like it's going to cost too much. They just don't do that shit. I mean, you get a little pop, but honestly, the guys that are already booked for that show is going to pop the crowd as much as you're going to pop that crowd. Just work on the quality wrestling coming out of that group right there.
They could bring that fan, too, with them. They bring him. You saw that YouTube footage that yelling Super Dragon?
Who, Rory?
Oh, you gotta watch it, dude. Like it was him and some fan cat yelling like Super Dragon for everything.
The one clip he had Rory and shit, and that was Little Mondo right there.
What, yelling Super Dragon?
He got into it with Little Mondo on a couple little joints right there.
Like, Super Dragon! He kept yelling.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know if it was the clip
nothing.
You're talking about, but he definitely got into it with him on that shit, from being a fan to all of that, so. You know, pre-wrestler type stuff. But, yeah, man, but anyway, WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus kicked off the
that
night, and, Sheamus kicked off the night. Daniel Bryan didn't kick off anything.
Kicked him in the face.
Yeah, I thought that was ridiculous.
That's bullshit, man. They disrespected the shit out of that title, man.
Yeah, I don't know if they're disrespecting the title. I mean, when it
comes
down to it,
18 seconds, like, really? You're trying to break that record, bullshit record that Diesel set, like, 1994.
But they didn't break the record. That was the other thing. And I think they fucked up and rang the bell too soon. Or there was a miscue as far as what Daniel Bryan was going to do. Because I think when he was supposed to turn and go kiss AJ or whatever, I don't think the bell was supposed to ring yet. And being they rung the bell, he turned around to kiss AJ. When he turned around to get kicked, they already exceeded their time limit as far as breaking that record. So they kind of fucked that up. But in the same token, just to put Daniel Bryan down that fast, you know, for the sake of trying to outdo a record or some shit, that I was just cheesy. I didn't like that.
I hated it, dude. I'll talk to my wife. I missed it. That's a fucked up part. I was in this. I told her, like, yo, what match is it? Second? Like, what do you mean second? What match was it? Oh, it lasted like 10 seconds. Like, what the fuck was it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the thing there is like, now I get it. I do understand too, because they had Daniel Bryan playing like the chicken shit heel, like running away and getting like, you know, a little shady victories the whole year.
That's old school right there.
Yeah, it works. It definitely works, but the way that they did it with Sheamus is they were just like, you can't run, bang, done, over, new champ, and like he couldn't weasel his way around anymore. So I kind of get why they did it. It did, as much as it sucked for anyone who was a fan of the dude. What are you doing?
Oh, sorry about that, bro. I'm parked to get him out of my car.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I did get it. As much as it sucked for anyone who was a fan of him, it did make sense. Because, I mean, you can come right off of that gimmick where now he's still pissed off and, you know, he's going to weasel his way to more victories and try to get himself back up in there. But I just hope they don't severely decline him and then, you know, push him out of the picture. I mean, they've got a lot of different things going on now. Alberto Del Rio is going to come into the picture to fight Sheamus, apparently. And they're jumping ahead there. I ain't going to touch Roy yet, but you know, that type of thing. So I wasn't a huge fan of it. I did understand it, but I was like, man, it really got robbed of a match. They got a dark match last year at WrestleMania, and then fast forward to this year where they got 18 seconds, and it was one move, and that was it. So I wasn't a fan of that.
What do you think of fucking Prince Albert coming back?
I'm not jumping ahead to Raw yet, dude. I got a lot to talk about. I can't jump there and then come back here. And I got WrestleMania to talk about right now.
Okay, let's talk about WrestleMania then.
We are, motherfucker. That was the first joint. So then there was Kane versus Randy Orton.
Great match. I liked it.
Oh, fuck them. So, fucking first off, like, Randy Orton's coming out. And I forget which announcer was saying it. But they're like, look. Huh?
Coming out the closet.
Who? Randy Orton? But Randy Orton's coming out, and they're like, look at the look on his face. This is going to be intense. And I look at this motherfucker, he's slowly walking to the ring, looking completely indifferent. Like he could give a fuck less about this match. He's just walking out and just kind of look like, I don't know, dude. Like, what do you mean look at his face? Don't draw attention to this guy's emotionless fucking retarded face. Like, he's just standing there staring awkwardly. He's not, he doesn't look intense.
I think he just gave up.
He didn't look fired up. Don't be like, hey, look at his face. Be like, oh.
No, like, he gave up, like, you know, I think he just wore himself out. That's about it.
That was walking to the ring. That's what I'm saying. I was walking to the fucking ring. He had that look on his face. So, that was that. Kane wins with the little second rope choke slam. I don't really get what it is there. I mean, I think that's awful nice that they actually, you know, they actually put over Kane, I guess, because it was weird. The way the whole shit came about was like, you know, Nina says she thought Eric was back on for a minute with all the noise you were making. it was just like Kane was fighting John Cena. I think Kane was going to end up, I thought Kane was going to end up fighting Ryder coming back, you know, once Ryder came back off his injury, it'd be like big revenge at WrestleMania thing, and then at least have a program built. Well, Orton was supposed to fight Wade Barrett, and Barrett got hurt.
Yeah, that was messed up. Have you seen that? Whew.
So they said, fucking, all right, you know, go jump over there with the other 18 fucking people in that match, Ryder. We're going to have Orton and Kane. So they just did that, more or less, and I was surprised they put Kane over because they more or less switched Kane's match due to Orton not having an opponent, as far as I could see it. So it was kind of weird, so they did that, and I'm just indifferent about that. Like, if Undertaker, I think, is done. I think we saw his last match. But if not, they gotta end it with Kane. I said that before they went with the Triple H thing, and they can't do another WrestleMania. They cannot do another WrestleMania. Do I think Survivor Series is when he debuted.
Yeah, you're right, too. 1990. I remember that. Yeah. Like, no, 91.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, the Taker debuted at Survivor Series, so, you know, other people have said it, too. It isn't my creation, but it would make the most sense for him to end it where he started if they want to keep him going. If they don't, I'm completely fine with him ending 20-0 at WrestleMania. I could give a fuck less. I'm going to get into him in a little while when I get up to his match.
Or they're going to make a move.
Yeah, fuck, whatever. So then they had a little backstage segment with Santino and a fisherman guy from Deadliest Catch or some shit, Mick Foley. And then they start punching the crab legs, and then Ron Simmons scares them with a damn, and there you go. Well,
which is about time they put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is about time. You know what I think is completely disrespectful as far as Hall of Fame goes, though? If they choose to air the Hall of Fame on TV, they did the whole hour before Raw thing, they're fucked up for pulling people off of it. Like, they condense it down. They take people off that aren't even alive anymore. And then, you know, they just, okay, we're going to showcase this and we're going to showcase that. We're going to showcase that. The Hall of Fame should be the Hall of Fame. If you're going to honor people, honor everybody. Don't, I mean.
Yeah, you got to honor, you got to put someone in the Hall of Fame that you embarrassed already. I mean, you remember that fucking Yokozuna thing? WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was straight slap in the face to him.
Well, he, you know, I mean, he got in, but then they completely cut it off, you know. Of the thing. I'm sure they'll have it all on the DVD, but.
Yeah, you gotta wait for the fucking DVD to come out to actually watch the Hall of Fame,
yeah. And one thing I never knew either, and I feel it's completely marky, and maybe I'm just being a douche. I'm probably just being a douche. That's kind of my way.
Yeah.
But, I didn't know until, you know, I had a bunch of people that I knew going to the Hall of Fame and stuff like that, like Georgie Boy and whatnot. And, you know, no disrespect to Georgie Boy. He's a good guy. I like him. I didn't know that a bunch of fans dressed up in suits to go to the fucking Hall of Fame.
Are you fucking serious?
No, they do. They do. Like, Georgie Boy was wearing a fucking suit. And
I'm not wearing a damn suit.
And I guess that's, like, the respectable thing to do. And I'll be goddamned. Fuck that. Fuck all of that. That's retarded to me. You know, I mean, you're honoring a fucking wrestler. These motherfuckers show up in fucking spandex or fucking ripped jeans or a fucking singlet like a fucking one-year-old. They wear a fucking they wear a fucking onesie like one of my twins. And I'm supposed to dress in a suit.
Wait. I have a question, dude. Iron Sheik, did he come in with a suit? He came with a suit, okay, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. If you want to accept the award in a suit, if, you know, the person inducting you wants to wear a suit, I understand all that shit. You're going to be a filthy-ass wrestling fan fucking 900 feet from the fucking induction, and you're going to be wearing a fucking suit? Fuck out of here. I ain't dealing with that shit. It's funny. Whoa, what the fuck is going on? Going through a tunnel?
Big Ric Flair, though, two-time. Yo, that's the first person to ever do that.
Ah, yeah, don't be surprised. They'll have him again with fucking Evolution. They'll have him fucking Triple H.
Yeah,
they'll have his
20
fucking
years from now, shit.
Triple H will be in, and then Triple H will fucking be in for DX, and then Triple H will be in for Evolution, and then Triple H will be in for burying fucking young guys. Like, he'll be in, like, five times. But,
I don't know who's going to be in it next year, yo. Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, next year, I would imagine it. They should probably soon go with the Undertaker thing, and you could probably expect one of three people: Undertaker, Ultimate Warrior, or Randy Savage as your headliner next year, because it's in like New York, more or less, like North Jersey, big stage, and yeah, I mean, to put Undertaker in New York would be enormous. So I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people are saying, oh, people are eligible a couple years. Yeah, how long after Edge retired was he eligible? So let's scrap
hey,
that shit right
fuck?
Now.
Like, what? Not even a year. It's like a couple
years. No, this isn't the fucking NFL. You can go in when they decide to put you in. So whatever, let's do that. I mean, it'd be awesome to fucking Bruno doesn't want that shit. But
who?
Bruno Sammartino.
Oh, no, he won't give a shit about that. Fuck that.
No, he's denied it a million times, but to put Bruno in and pretty much, like, the closest to New York we're going to get would be fucking perfect, but he doesn't want it. He's said it a million times. He wants nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and the person who's going to induct him is probably Larry Zbysko and shit.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just saying, like, it's just one of those things. I wonder, you know, if you could just, like, out of respect, just put in people against their will. Just be like, yeah, you're inducted. You don't have to accept shit. You don't have to fucking take anything. But you belong in there. So there you go. It's just
there's
like throwing mention the name
there.
And saying, yeah, you're in there. You want to show up and shake hands? Great. If not, whatever. You're in there. You deserved it. You earned it. I don't know. Anyway.
Next year, dude, Brooklyn Brawler. That's my vote.
Brooklyn Brawler. Fuck you. So next up is The Big Show in his fucking
God.
In his fucking knit hat in Miami.
That's what I'm thinking, like, yo, this is gonna be fucking hot as hell. You're wearing a wool cap.
Yeah, I mean maybe it's cooler up there. Like 7 feet
bullshit.
In the air.
I talked to my boy, he went down there from Trenton and shit. He said it was like 80 something degrees.
Yeah, with a fucking knit hat on.
And a wool cap.
Yep, Scully in Miami. You fat idiot. So anyway, he wins with a punch. He's the fucking Intercontinental Champion. He's only been in the business like 35 years, so, you know.
He started crying and everything.
Oh, cry all you like. You have a fucking mid-carders belt. This is the first you've been in the fucking company all these years. This is your first win on WrestleMania, period. They never put him over on WrestleMania.
Keep on that title, though, man. That title was prestigious one back in the day.
Yeah, they never put him over on WrestleMania ever before, and now you have a fucking mid-card title, you stupid fat douche. Take that knit hat off, fucking eat it and choke on it, you bastard. I really have no fucking love for that guy. Like, the fact that most Giants die early is going to be a blessing when this guy passes. I'm tired of seeing him on my fucking TV. I'm sorry if someone loves this guy to death.
How you feel about Biff, too, dude?
What?
I feel the same way. It's how I feel about Biff. Fuck the war. He's kind of a waste.
That's how you feel about who?
Abyss.
Abyss? Abyss isn't as big as the Big Show, and, you know, he's played
anyway. I hate that fucking guy, dude. Like...
He's on a meaningless television show. I mean, it, you know, it's no different than, like...
That dude in India, that's why they sent his ass packing over there, wrestle over there.
Yeah, yeah, he's, you know, whatever. But it sucks, man. Cody Rhodes is an up-and-coming dude. He was actually doing a lot more when he had the bad gimmick and stuff like that, and he had some, like, kind of following and something going there. But he was really stepping up as far as quality wrestling. And then on top of that, to just fucking bury the gimmick, leave the gimmick out, and then on top of that, bury him with the Big Show. After all these years, the Big Show hasn't gone over. Now he's going over. Whatever. I mean, it's just, you know. I don't know what to expect.
Cody Rhodes
is
one of my favorite
shit.
New school cats, dude.
The what?
He's one of my favorite new school guys. I mean.
Cody Rhodes?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of talent. Then you got... Beth and Eve versus Kelly Times 2 and Maria Menounos.
Oh, yeah, the halftime show? Yeah, I walked away from that.
Yeah, well, Maria won with a schoolboy or schoolgirl or whatever you want to call it, and no one cares. Then they announced that they had a record amount of fans in that building. It was 78,363 fans. So they set that record over there. That's pretty awesome. Good for them. Then, okay, here we go. Now the show starts. What are you doing on your end?
Oh, like me? I'm walking a dog and seeing the Subaru WRX drive by.
Yeah, it's just like you randomly step into a wind tunnel and I'm trying to talk. It's unbelievable.
No,
fucking Eric part two.
Not my fault. I'm trying to cover up.
Call you Big Eric. So you had Triple H versus The Undertaker in Hell in a Cell with the big baby ref. This fucking guy looked far more handicapped than JR.
Come on, Shawn Michaels.
JR. Oh, yeah.
Why are you talking to me like that?
The dude started dancing, and I thought, dude, he needs to be brought to the back and given his helmet back because the dude is going to hurt himself. His fucking eye is so crooked, it's ridiculous. I don't know what happened to this dude that his eye went that far out of his head. It's fucking ridiculous. Like, Michaels was watching the fucking teacups at Disney World, the Miami Heat, and the fucking Miami Sound Machine because the one eye is going back in time at some point. That's how fucked up his eye is. I could not stand Shawn Michaels through this entire match. He's a legend and all that, but way to make a legend look like a fucking mental patient. So, then you got another one. This fucking guy with the faux hawk. This fucking guy pulls his hood off, and he's got the faux hawk going. He's got that shit, and the first thing I thought was the CM Punk sound clip, which I actually forgot to pull. But when he yelled, "Nice bullhawk, you homo!" at the fan, you know, that was the first thing I thought. Now this guy pulls his shit off, and let me tell you something. Now, Undertaker to me looked like he gained a lot of weight. Now, not a lot, like, oh my god, he's fucking Super Dragon now. But I mean, like, not as in shape as I had seen Undertaker in previous years in WrestleManias when he shows up once a year, that type of thing. I got to say that I'm not sure whether his weight was that far off or if it was the haircut. Because I also want to, like, leak this piece of information to the world, whether you be male, female, whatever the case is. If you struggle with your weight, do not get a short haircut. It exposes the fuck out of your fat. That is just a fact of life, okay?
It was a
longer
camera,
hair.
Dude.
What?
It was a camera.
get the fuck out of here. Because, hey, you know, the camera adds weight. Well, you know what adds weight? Fucking weight. That's what adds weight. So, but if you're having weight problems and stuff like that, the long hair does kind of mask it a little bit. It, you know, it just flows with it, and it's a little more of a distracting thing. When you cut the hair and you got a big pudgy fucking face sitting behind it, now you can't pay attention to anything else but your fucking fat face. And you're out of shape body and shit. Nah, like, again, it's not like Undertaker was in that terrible of shape, but I'm just saying, it's just not... Yeah. Brent's saying I should do the facts of life with Jay. Well, that's... I sprinkle them amongst my show. This is part of what I do. This is part of the service I provide.
Well,
for
I guess
all
I'm out of the fucking running, dude. I've got no hair, so...
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying... Yeah, you know, you threw a couple inches of hair on you. You might be like, "Hey, did you lose weight, dude? What you doing?"
Oh, you
hey,
did.
Doesn't hurt. You know, to be like, "You some iron and shit." I'm like, "No." They just start to figure out what's going on with you. It's like, no, actually, no, okay. Anyway, you know, so that's just something that I just saw like right off the bat. Now. Shawn Michaels was just playing goalie to fucking Triple H's offense throughout the fucking match. Like, he was, like, grabbing chairs and grabbing sledgehammers and grabbing everything. Like, no, don't do it. No, don't do it. What the fuck kind of shit is that? It's just Hell in a Cell. They're supposed to want to kill each other. And you're like, no, don't hurt him. No, that's a little much. No, stop. Yay. Say, settle down. It was so annoying. This fucking guy's, like, huddled in the corner crying, like, fucking... Jesus Christ, dude. He went like super fucking emo, and it fucking hurt. And they beat the shit out of each other. I'll give them that all day long. Like they hit so many fucking chair shots, it was ridiculous. Well, of course they were all to the back because God forbid we actually, you know, swing a chair. You done? All right. So no, I guess not. Okay. What are you doing? Someone, oh, there you, okay. He just called an error completely. I heard a bunch of shuffling, then the dude dropped off the line. Oh, fun. Anyway, so, like I was trying to say, the fucking guy was just, like, cowering and all that. And they beat the shit out of each other with the chair, you know, chair shots to the back, the whole nine, and, like, they really went in with that. But it was crazy. Like, first off, I said from the start they needed blood. I thought it was, like, maybe accidental blood, or they, like, instead of, like, a blade, fucking Triple H had a pin in his fucking wrist tape or something, because he had, like, a tiny little bit of blood, like, almost like he had ketchup on his hands and he tried to brush his hair back. Like, just a tiny bit, like, a little caked on the eyebrow type shit. So I don't even know what happened there. But it didn't look good as far as that went. It was just weird. And, yeah, like I said, they did beat the shit out of each other. I'm not going to take away from the physicality they did in the match, but... it wasn't as good as some people are making it out to be, as brilliant storytelling and all that. Oh, well, storytelling of making a legend look like a fucking sissy, then yeah, you told a great story there. You know, Shawn Michaels looked like a cowering bitch that couldn't stand fucking violence when he was a fucking legendary wrestler. So yeah, that's what great history it had. And you know, seeing as fucking Shawn Michaels was always known as fucking Triple H's best friend, you know, him beating the shit out of The Undertaker shouldn't upset Shawn Michaels that much. Like, I don't understand where it's like, no, this isn't right. Like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, I don't get it. Yeah, he's supposed to be neutral, this and that, but he seemed really butthurt over fucking Triple H hurting The Undertaker. So I wasn't down with it. It was retarded. And honestly, I'm not that big a fan of Triple H or The Undertaker. And, I just never have been, so it's cool. And, you know, I expected something out of him. And I predicted Hell in a Cell way earlier than Hell in a Cell was announced. But fact being fact, they didn't use that cell. They really didn't use that cell. Like, I really expected to. I'm not saying, hey, you know, Mick Foley, let him climb the cell and get launched off the top of it or anything like that. That's fucking beyond the possibility of happening. I definitely did not expect any of that. I wasn't going to ask for that at a, like, pretty much combined 100 years in age. Like, I'm not expecting launching off of the top of the cage. But I would expect climb to the top, maybe hit a pedigree on the top or a fucking tombstone, and then, you know, leave the guy on top, come back down to the ring, taunt a bunch, and have the guy slowly climb back down or say, you know, something like that. I mean, it wouldn't hurt, and especially if this winds up being Undertaker's last match. For the amount that fucking The Rock has talked about a vagina and banging Cena's mom and lady parts and this and that, and fucking, like, they went well beyond PG with that other storyline. And, you know, not to mention, I mean, hitting a guy in the fucking back with a chair 85 times isn't exactly PG. Just because he doesn't bleed does not make it a fucking completely safe for children product. Like, oh, you know, my fucking, you know, my 10-year-old son broke my other son's spine hitting him in the back with a chair 28 times. That doesn't mean, oh, well, but they leaned away from blood on the television, so I guess we're good. Like, hey, come on with the PG shit already. I mean, you're either going to be a parent and teach your kids what's right and what's wrong, or you're going to drop the ball and you're going to blame it on fucking television, whether it be a Call of Duty video game and fucking your son gets daddy's fucking gun and shoots his, you know, his brother. Or he's going to drop him on his head with something, or he's, you know, he's going to be watching Tom and Jerry and hit his brother with a frying pan. I mean, you'd be parents and stop being fucking ready for the scapegoat shit, you know, and pointing your fingers. WWE has never been a fucking completely PG product, and they tried to be, and they tried to be, and as soon as The Rock came back, and he's like, I want to talk about pie and penis, and they're like, all right, Rock, go right ahead. Like, I mean, let's be real about what actually goes on and what you guys portray as far as the PG stuff. As soon as someone comes in that wants to bring up topics that you normally ain't down with, it's like, well, okay, well, you know, I guess do that. You're going to talk about banging Cena's mom, him not having any balls, having lady parts, the crowd that likes John Cena never getting laid, and what are we all done? Oh, okay, all right, yeah, that sounds about right. Cool. I get it. All right. Yeah, we're right on line with that one. Oh, awesome. Yeah, go ahead. So, that's that. Next up, you had, so Undertaker wins 20-0. Please go home. Please go back to your fucking lavish retirement home, and we don't need to see each other for a long time. Well, I mean, I'll see you next year, Hall of Fame. That would be fantastic. You deserve it. You've been around forever. I don't see why not. I just, you know, I just find it weird that, you know, we get stuck with this dilemma of really dealing with you for all these years, and you leave and you come back, and, like, I just gotta, here you are at WrestleMania again. You gotta be the most over, and oh, look at your stupid haircut and your fat head. All right, then. Nice mohawk. You look like the biggest Chuck Liddell fan in the world, and being we've seen you fucking attending UFC fights last year. So proud of you. Jesus Christ. Then you had Team Johnny versus Team Teddy. Oh, Tonga in a belly shirt. Jesus Christ. Oh, Tonga in a belly shirt. Jack Swagger in a fucking stupidest haircut I've ever seen since fucking Biff from Back to the Future. That's what he looks like to me. Biff with a lisp. Make like a three and leave. Fuck. No. Make like a three and get out of here. Get the hell out of here. Oh, Jesus. But, yeah, so I was calling him Team Haircut and Belly Shirt. And, you know, Team Haircut and Belly Shirt ended up winning. The one thing that stood out in that match tremendously to me, other than the overabundance of fucking people in it, was Dolph Ziggler taking a monkey flip into a fucking front bump. if that man is not a fucking asset to wrestling and the art of wrestling, an actual athletic ability in the ring, then I don't know what is. That guy is amazing. Seriously, just if you didn't see it, or if you did watch WrestleMania and you didn't catch that, see if you can run it back and catch that. I don't think I've ever seen someone take a monkey flip into a front bump. Not say that he's the only guy that could do it, but even to innovate something as simple as a monkey flip into putting that much more effort into selling it, it's tremendous. It's such a non-selfish move that you really got to be into it to realize what he just did. And he just put the offense over so fucking highly, as well as showing what he could do athletically if you pay attention. And it's great stuff. I really give him a lot of respect for that. The Miz wins via skull-crushing finale on Ryder, further burying Ryder, which I couldn't be happier. I mean, Ryder's just going to keep going down and down and down and down and down. And I don't know what to tell you. I fucking love it. The guy is shit to me. I can't stand him. I hate his gimmick. I don't think he's that fucking good in the ring. His gimmick just makes me want to throw up. I can't stand it. Robbie E does it better in TNA, and even him doing it, it's still a horrible gimmick. Like, I really can't stand it. And I heard rumors of where Zack Ryder's gimmick came from, and that's cool, being a guy that we all know in the CCW realm. Not going to put it out there, but if that's the truth, big shout out. I'm sure you got a lot of credit backstage and all that shit for it, but I hate the fucking gimmick, so it's whatever. It's clearly something to jump on because it's, Jersey Shore is so enormously popular, and I mean, what are you going to do? Because, it's usually over. I mean, you can't deny that Jersey Shore is over, so whether I like it, whether I don't like it, which I don't, it's something that's over. It's not going to go away. Well, hopefully it will, but, I don't know. It seems like it's here for a while. So hopefully dying down. Hopefully. But, that's that. I going off of that, you go into a huge match in Chris Jericho versus CM Punk. I thought this was a great match. They really worked it well. You definitely had the suspension of disbelief throughout this match where you really didn't know what was going to happen. You had a lot of those walls of Jericho sunk in. You're like, oh, fuck. And he's pulling Punk towards back in the middle of the ring, and you're just like, oh, shit. What's going to happen? Is he going to get it? And you just didn't know. I thought it was a great match, well worked by both guys. Not a lot of bad to say about the match. I was a huge fan of it. A lot of different things, in this pay-per-view got overshadowed because, it's WrestleMania, so people are looking for their focus, I guess. And the Rock Cena took a lot of the focus, and people started putting it over as like the best thing ever and the best match and the next coming, and oh my God, never seen anything like this. And I don't think it was that serious. I understand people were happy to see the Rock back in the ring, and that was what it was, and I'll get there. But I was a big fan of the CM Punk Chris Jericho match. I thought it did what it was supposed to, and I don't see why anyone would not be happy with that match. I think it was definitely something people should watch for years to come, and it was one of those fantasy matches that came through. So I liked it. Brent's saying I should try to get on Jersey Shore. I should try to kill myself after I hang the show up. That's a better idea. Then after that, they had Brodus Clay come out and do the Bridge Club. He called his mama. He'd been saying he's going to. And he called his mama. She came out with the Bridge Club. It was a bunch of Brodus Clay's mama. And they were all dancing. Fun segment. It was funny. I liked it. Good comedy, little comedy segment and stuff. Give him time to, get ready for this main event. So the Rock Cena, they went to their main event. They didn't do bad. I mean, they honestly didn't do bad. There wasn't a ton wrong with the match. by that time, I mean, there was a kind of combination of things between having watched so much great wrestling up until that point, especially Friday and Saturday, and then never being a John Cena fan, and really not that amused with the fact that The Rock's popping back in to get the hugest pop of the fucking company and then bouncing back out to go do a bunch of shitty movies that I won't watch. And that was a lot of it. I mean, the fact that also The Rock was yelling at John Cena to call spots during the match, like more or less correcting him throughout the match, like that's fucking weird too. And he was doing that. It was pretty noticeable if you were watching and or rewatch it or whatever. And I don't know. I didn't like The Rock going over. I mean, I don't know exactly what they're doing with this. I don't know if this is going to be their way of finally turning John Cena heel. They just up and down teased it all over the place, and I don't know if it's even that important at this point. But they're doing the whole, seems like they're doing the John Cena beaten man thing. So he got beat by The Rock. The Rock doesn't give a shit about him now. Yeah, kind of thanked him or whatever. John Cena's just like, man, you know. When it came out on Monday with the shit, it was just like, just ridiculous. But I will get to Monday. That was pretty much WrestleMania. If anyone else has got, you know, some shit to add or some shit to say about it, you know, to watch it, you know, feel free calling, give you a couple words or your, you know, highs and low points of the night. You can do that. Whatever, you know, I'm going to get into Raw in a minute. I'm going to take another break. I'm sorry. Brent, you're going to get more rap tonight than you've heard in your life. So I'm just going to take another break and, gear back up for Raw, because I enjoyed Raw immensely. A lot of big points in Raw. So, I'm going to take this break and come back with some Raw talk.
The forecast showers heavy at times with occasional thunderstorms today and a high of 89 degrees. Partial clearing tonight with a low of 74.
Whoa,
Benny's
on. Who's most wanted? This microphone, I got some of this. We know how much in the LB band get motherfucking biz. Along on this track, we got the funk, got the spot. Cannabis and A-plus from off side block. Hey, yo, big dog like the dance. Yeah, we come through like bulls. See, us niggas taking two bulls and pass. Nigga, watch your back once you talk out the ass. I back a 380 in my stash for protection. Family to raise, the world is acting crazy. I never thought I'd make it, it was hectic when I scramble. On point like a knife, I'm taking life as a gamble. Living in the rockin' apple. Yo, the every chorus rotten. All my niggas rest in peace. See, you gone but not forgotten. Now my main wifey, dead as shady chicks. Official lost boys since the year of 86. And fuck these crooked niggas, I could kill them with the passion. At times I feel like blasting in Jamaica, Queens, slashing. You can fuck around, but here you just thinking. It's over when I'm sober. Imagine when I'm drinking. Without blinking, man, I tell you, prove like pages. I rip you from the backyard, bartend and stay here. Plus, the lyrically superb one. Spitting rhymes off the top of your tongue to burn your eardrums. Rock shit, make the opposite. Tears call a timeout. Knocking niggas three times, my size out. Crowd loves what? So when I ain't around, they ask for me. I buckle up and catch a wreck like a crab. Don't be for the fast money. I get up in that ass money. The fact you trying to test me kind of bug. I leave too fed up. I candy cap niggas trying to get up. See, get wet up with lyrical gun pellets. I blow up the spot when it's time to rock. I speak out, my boys watch the peek out of the 100 watts. Who wanna cycle? I get dumb. Word to my mother, the father, the Holy Ghost, the rap run. When the sword said it done, I end the service. Concocted the type of verses, average MC's worse.
Yo, big dog, turn the track off. Yo, fake MC's, step to the rear. Real MC's, bring this shit up.
Fuck how you feel. Fuck with the lyrical skills again.
My style is milk and magnesia. Plus the 5 feet of butter.
do. My only concern when I approach you is to roast you. I'll smoke you or whoever you standing close to, and make every man in your crew deny that he knows you. Defeating niggas like Seagull Steven, putting them seeds in positions to prevent them from breathing. I make you question any and everything you ever believed in by peeping your deeper secrets like psychic readers. What's the matter with y'all? I splatter y'all against the motherfucking wall with these raw lyrics I catapult. None of y'all got the balls big enough to battle. I go on and on like Erykah Badu. 100 times nicer than the best is. Twice arrogant as KRS is. Who wanna test this? Fuck y'all, you don't impress me and no one can test me. The MC's so ill, I got any scared to catch me. All that shit you poppin' don't stop when I put you in a headlock and apply pressure till I crush your motherfucking noggin. I grab mics and push niggas to the left so fast they hard end up on the right side of the chest. My hypothesis is that nobody can see this lyrical genius. I got it sold like a seamstress. But if you wanna battle, I'm down. If you got 9 lives, I'll take 8 of them off your hands right now. Step up and get your neck cut from ear to ear. If you survive, then you can come to the star with a beard. I'm the illest from Queens to the New Jerusalem critics. Anyone who ain't feeling my shit, it can suck my dick. You need to quit it if you ain't spitting more than 50 bars per minute, cause you ain't in lyrical fitness. Kicking boring raps with metaphors is whack. All of your motherfuckers need gnawing the track to get your weight up. Fucking with cannabis to get ate up. Beat down and sprayed up just for bringing my name up. Been rocking longer than niggas twice my age. Back in the days before Bob Marley was rocking the fade, before Honest Abe signed the paper that freed slaves, before Neanderthals was drawing on walls and caves. I existed in the Garden of Eden getting lifted, sticking dick to Eve before she was Adam's mistress, before Christ created Christmas. I've been in lyrical fitness. The cannabis is spitting to me spitless. 50 bars of total sickness. You won't forget this. I'm putting every whack I see alive on my shit list. Verbally vicious, telekinetically gifted. Took you a minute to exhibit that I'm sick with it. Now you tell me who you think is damaging shit. Going once, going twice, sold to that nigga named Cannabis. Me and Mr. Keith, A plus the phone doctor hopping after Huey helicopter to super chop ya. Group home and death squad. 9-7, nigga.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm on my shit tonight with the beats, for real. I thought about it earlier because I had a lot of shit on my mind. I got a lot of shit to talk about, but just getting tired, man. I was up the other night till like 3 in the morning acting stupid. So, one of those nights you got to like check your inbox the next morning, make sure you ain't got no apologies to make and shit like this. But, so I was like, all right, fucking had last night, got to bed at a decent time, and then today's still like a little bit of recovery. Not, you know, I'm too serious, I'm straight, but just like, alright, just getting a little tired talking to myself and shit like this. So alright, listen, a couple things I want to touch on. Definitely going to get at that Raw thing. What the fuck else? Carnage Cup happened last weekend. That was some shit that I was like, now, I don't know what kind of numbers they pulled or any of that type of shit, but I just got to feel like Dragon Gate USA, iPay-per-view shit, they doing their thing over there. I'd have to say that was a good idea. And honestly, like, ROH, I think, ran some shit down there, too, and I ain't hear shit about it, which is fucked up because they got a lot of good talent out there. But for whatever reason, I hear no buzz, no nothing. I heard tons of Dragon Gate buzz, and the shit lived up to the hype. So I don't know what that is. But either way, Carnage Cup did their thing out there where they do their thing. And really the only name I knew or gave a fuck about was Matt Tremont. And I was like, well, he's clearly going to skate on this motherfucker and win it, right? Well, nah, they ended up giving it to that Spider Boudreaux kid. He was one half of the box cutter incident from last year. I don't remember if he was the motherfucker that stabbed somebody or the one that got stabbed. I don't really give a fuck. But he was either agreeing to that shit one way or another. So I would consider him at least half retarded on last year's credit. They did a big like Falcon Arrow type joint off the box truck, you know, off a truck, and you know, through a light tube table type shit like that. So crazy bump. I mean, that's something that I was actually talking to my boy Paul about. Shout out Paul if you listen to this, because he only listens like one of my fucking shows every like 2 or 3 months and shit. Well, we talk all the time. It's retarded. But yeah, we was talking about like big bumps like that. You know, obviously, you know, the biggest bump in deathmatch history, as far as I'm concerned, is probably that Zandig Mondo joint off the roof that no one will ever forget. Well, you know, coming off of that, it's like, well, you know, when was the last, like, big hype bump and shit that people done? And, you know, you start kicking shit around, start saying, oh, well, you know, Mondo jumped off the truck last year. And I'm like, yeah, that wasn't really shit. I mean, and from what I heard, that was part of what got him booked over in Japan. So, I mean, I guess it was something. And it is, that does get noticed, is what was the big bump? What was this? What was that? And that was some non-tournament shit, so you know. I was like, all right, you know, they did a, you know, that worked, I guess. But, yeah, just, I don't know, just crazy shit, because, I don't know. There's a lot of no names out there, and, you know, not to completely trash everybody who was there, because, you know, I don't know a lot of the talent. And honestly, unless you get your name out there, that's not my problem, because I watch a lot of indies, I see a lot of shit, and I've seen a lot of these cats' names here and there, but they never really, like, branched out, or when you see a tournament of death, they ain't big enough to get their name booked over here. And I don't know. I mean, even King of the Death, when they were doing that, there's only so much of them that actually ended up in the second day. And then you kind of pay attention to them cats, but yeah. So anyway, beyond that shit, Spider Boudreaux won, whatever that means. What the fuck else I want to talk about? Talk about Raw, but before that, I had some other stupid shit. Oh, now, I got to take it as a victory, okay? Now, it only might be a partial victory, because they might be hiding and shit, and they might be hiding the fact that this little faggot still tapes and shit, but the fact of the matter is little Jason Skinner, Jason the camera guy, ECWA, Delaware, fucking camera dude. Well, after my whole shit, this dude is removed from their website. He's not getting credit for filming. He's not getting credit for Street Team, two things he was clearly listed on the website for before. So bottom line is, they're either fucking hiding the fact that they're using this guy still and giving other people credit for what he's running around the ring doing, which is a fucking hilarious joke, if that's what's going on, or dude lost his job, and rightfully so, because they're going to be at the Boys and Girls Club coming up. I ain't going to even plug the date, but coming up. And I think it'd be hilarious if this little bitch didn't get to do what he was marking out for and starting shit with people about. You know, you want to run around talking about being the best camera guy in the business, all of that shit, and people pull you a card on what you are because you're talking shit to them. It's real funny. It's real funny when you no longer have that camera job. And if you do, I'll find out about it, because I know people who are going to be there, and I will find out about it. I promise. And it'll go further, because obviously they were scared of the fact if they pulled you off the website. So if – I love how I talk to people like they listen to my shit, but they don't. But either way, you fucked up, dude, and it's funny how your name got taken off of everything. And how awesome would that be if you're such a great camera dude and they still kept using you but could never give you credit for what you did all night? That's cute. That's some cute shit right there. You might as well start just, you know, try to zone out. Think about something different, like the kid you were fucking with. You know what I mean? Think about some shit like that, you fucking retard. See, I told you then, like, you don't y'all went somewhere with me and you were just like, you don't know shit. You ain't relevant. You ain't this. You ain't that. Well, shit, I wasn't trying to be relevant, but you want to call me out and you want to put me in a position where now I got to act and shit, then, oh, I got some information. Oh, am I going to hold that back and spare your motherfucking feelings? Hell no. Now, all of a sudden, you got put on blast. So look at that. That's funny. Jason the camera guy that they can't give credit to. That's something else, man. And as far as I can see on Facebook, I know dude had been having me blocked and shit, but I tried searching it from even other sites, and he might have completely deleted his Facebook. So if I took away this cat's network, his film credit, the whole shit, they don't even give him credit for passing flyers out no more. that's off the hook, man. They might be shaking your hand under the table, but they ain't putting that shit out public whatsoever. They're hiding from even giving you credit, even if they allow you to work for them anymore. So, Team Yakuza 1, Team Camera Douche 0. That's what that is. Shout out to my dude G's. Completely unrelated topic. You're going to kill yourself with that motherfucking C4, I'll tell you straight up. Because I never been into coke or nothing like that, but first time I did this shit, I felt like I was fucking on some shit. I seen the motherfuckers tweaking, looking out the window and shit when I was up north. That's what this shit made me feel like. And I was like, all right, I got on the weights and all that. And it works. Motherfucker works. The past couple of days, this cat's trying to see how much of that shit he could eat in one day. That shit is not safe, man. You're going to blow your motherfucking heart up. But he practices that shit with that. Yeah, I'm gonna up it to 18 scoops today, and I can't wait till my heart explodes. So I don't even know why you're going that direction, dog. It's, you know, whatever works for you, but damn. Get yourself in great shape and then blow your motherfucking heart up. You look like an idiot. Look at that motherfucker. Look how cut up he is, all dead and shit. I don't know, man. Stay safe, homie. So, yeah, Raw. I liked Raw. Where the fuck? I wrote too much shit down this week. I gotta flip through, like, mad pages to get back where I was at. All right. They started out doing the whole John Laurinaitis thing, and Laurinaitis was, you know, he's taking over, so now he's, like, pulling fucking shots, doing whatever. Which, I mean, something about it's fucked up. And from what I heard, Teddy Long might have, like, actual health problem type shit. So they pulled him off the show for that. And, like, that's why they had to find something else to do for SmackDown. So they did the whole angle with Ted, or with John. Which, I guess I get it. But, number one, John Laurinaitis is actually supposed to have legit, like, backstage fucking job to do type shit. So I don't know if that's going to hurt much of that or what the case is. It's really not my problem, but as long as the TV shit came out right, then I'm okay. And this week was the shit. I actually liked Raw, like, entertainment-wise, a whole lot more than I liked WrestleMania entertainment-wise. Not saying that there was a better match on Raw than there was on WrestleMania, but I could say that the dude, whoever put that shit together well. It was entertaining. It gave me a lot of, you know, surprises and this and this and this and this. So they started out, Santino's got to wrestle a couple motherfuckers, Dolph and Swagger with the T, Swagger and shit, and his faggot haircut. Santino ends up retaining, and then, you know, pulls, like, the quick, slick victory and shit, and he goes up to the ramp, and he's celebrating up there, and they try to bum rush him, and Brodus Clay comes out, headbutts motherfucker in the chest, like, I think it was Dolph took that shit. Might have been Swagger, I don't know. Come running up there, and he just fucking, like, lunge headbutted him in the face and or in the chest, more or less. And then they were all dancing and shit, all goofy. I'm just going to put it out there. I would call these guys next tag champs. They've done nothing with the tag titles whatsoever, which, you know, if you've listened to the show before, disgusts me when they put any title aside and treat it like shit, whether it be CZW, whether it be fucking anywhere. Anywhere. When a title is a dark match, I'm really not happy with that shit. That's ridiculous. Then just throw that shit in the garbage because you ain't doing a motherfucking thing with it. You know, when other guys are highlighting their, you know, their tag team title matches, their main event 1 month because that's just the hottest feud going and they're capping that off at the main event and then your shit's on a dark match, well, whose tag team division looks stronger? Come on, man. So, and I know WWE, they really have no competition as far as what's a better, bigger company. So they never worry about that type of shit, but to me, it's still important. Especially if, you know, you're a fan of tag team wrestling, you're a fan of, you know, cruiserweight wrestling, and, you know, the light heavyweight title got dark matched enough until it got fucking thrown out. They don't use that shit anymore. It's garbage. It's gone. It's nothing. Like, their hardcore thing. They used it. They played with it. They made it gimmicky, and then they got rid of it. Like, they do a lot of that shit, and you got to worry if you're a fan of a certain type of wrestling, and then they just go ahead and phase it out because they ain't got no work for it. They ain't got no plans for it. Like, a lot of, I mean, you'll see that same shit with a lot of workers. you're like, oh, I thought he was good. I don't think he was doing anything wrong and shit. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, we ain't got nothing for you. And it, well, shit. I mean, he was kind of over. Yeah, but we just kind of ran out of shit to do. You know. So anyway, that's that. So I would say that they're really entertaining. They could do a lot of shit out there. And between the dancing and all that different things, I think, you know, I think they could be tag team champions and at least make somewhat of a show of themselves. And I don't know, man. I could always sit there and fucking fantasy book a tag team division. I could fantasy book any company, but I ain't got the pull to do it. So what the fuck is what's the reason? You know, it's super easy to put on some shit that would entertain me and I'm sure a whole lot of other people. But the person who's got the cards is usually not trying to have it. And not only that, half the time, if the person in charge actually hears what your fantasy situation is, they're not going to run by your blueprint because they want to be the motherfucker that made it up. So it's best for me to keep my mouth shut about shit like that on certain circumstances. Of course, I'm going to speak about shit I have a fucking show to talk about. So, I mean, it is what it is. Next thing comes out is Lord Tensei, or Giant Bernard, or Prince Albert, A-Train, call him what you want to call him. He's back, comes out, he's got the, they kind of prefaced it where they didn't shit on it, and they said, I did some research on this guy, and he was a former WWE, da-da-da-da-da. But, like, when he took his headpiece off, they weren't like, oh, that's Albert. They just kind of left it at that. So it kind of made sense and allowed them to, like, you know, progress just to the next thing. And he was up against Alex Riley. And I loved this fucking shit. This got me hyped. Like, this dude worked stiff. He was in there. He just did some, like, beatdown shit. But it wasn't a two-move, you know, like, and again, I like Brodus Clay. He's entertaining and shit. But a lot of it is, you know, the comedy and then part big man type shit. But he did, like, he put, like, a beatdown on this dude and made it look like you didn't know if it was ever going to end. And I've heard people say, well, you know, he could have just did this or he could have just did that. It went too long. Like, no. I don't think you could just go too long. Like, that's retarded. Like, I don't understand how you could be happier with a guy doing two moves and walking out and the guy laying there. I mean, they were doing the same thing with Brodus Clay, and then people would go, well, I'm just kind of hoping they do, like, a longer match soon. Because it was two moves, dead, two moves, dead, two moves, dead. And then people were like, oh, you know, kind of like to see a little more. I mean, when the guy comes out and he does, you know, a series of moves and walks around, like, this guy is just trapped in his fucking, you know, whatever. It's kind of like being in the lion's den, you know what I mean? And the lion's in there just prowling around, knocking the shit out of you. You ain't going nowhere, and you don't know when he's going to be done fucking with you. And that was the kind of, like, aura that it gave off. Like, this big dude was just not going to give mercy until he felt like it. And he was just going to beat the shit out of the dude. Dude wasn't getting no offense. And he wasn't going nowhere anytime soon. So, I love that. And from what I heard, the plan is for him to feud with CM Punk. And I think that's great because CM Punk could work that stiff style. And he could work that Japanese-type style. So, if they do that, I think that could be really, really good. I would tease it a little more. I would go a little longer, have Lord Tensei or Albert, whatever, crush a couple more people, like, ruthlessly just, like, crush people and just fuck them up. And then I would head towards that, and I think that could be a really good joint. And I would go a couple months with it. Go at least two pay-per-views with them fighting, you know. And series is a Raw in between and a little bit after type thing. So I think they can go good with that. Because a lot of signs were pointing towards them going right back towards Del Rio and Punk again. And there's no reason for that. They just did it. They just did. I mean, they've gone through a few different things. And it's good that they cycle through and do some more. Because Punk is worth a lot. Unlike some people who think different things about him. But I'll get into that in a minute. So then you got CM Punk versus Mark Henry. Punk ended up counted out due to, you know, Mark Henry's assault and all of that, and they went back and forth quite a bit, but it was really playing to the strengths of Mark Henry being a beast, which I like. Mark Henry looks fucking dominant again, which they flicked that switch on and off. Like, for a while, he looked like he was just killing. I remember he was, I mean, He took out Kane. He took out Big Show. Then all of a sudden, like, Big Show came back and he started, like, playing cowardly heel a little bit shit and, like begging away from shit. I didn't like that. Like, they went a little away from it. And you can get a guy catching a loss, but you don't have to make him a bitch after being a beast. So that was kind of weird. But now it seems like they've gone right back into Mark Henry beast mode. And he ain't fucking around. He went from a 12-man match where he was just another guy to now he's fucking mad. He's going in. And he did, and they did that shit. I think they're going to go a big direction with him, especially now with the manager thing they're doing. I'll get to that in just a second. But then after the match, Jericho comes out and busts his motherfucking ass trying to stop Punk after he quote-unquote breaks a bottle over his head. He pours some fake-ass alcohol over his back and goes, "Yeah, now you got it. Now you got a taste. You're gonna be doing this all the time." And I'm sitting there going, "Yeah, he's just gonna be pouring bottles of alcohol on his back every week. He's just gonna be dumping alcohol on his back. You'll never stop his back from drinking alcohol. He's gonna bathe in fucking wine every week." And it's funny because I heard a couple people online talking about it was Jack Daniels. It was fucking red. It looked like a wine bottle, and the shit was red. I don't know what fucking kind of Jack Daniels you fuck you talking about. I've never been a whiskey cat, but Jesus Christ. So yeah, he breaks the bottle and he goes to stomp him, and I'll glance at my computer over there and I'll be watching the screen too. So like it kind of looked like the corner of my eye, like he like did like a quick drop kick to the face type thing. And I heard Nina laugh and shit. She was like, "Oh, shit." And I was like, "Oh, he fucked up, didn't he?" I was like, "I thought he hit a drop kick, but I wasn't sure because it kind of looked like out of the corner of my eyes he's about to stop him." She's like, "No, he fucked up." So I rewinded and shit, and I was like, "Oh, that is hilarious. Dude just fucking busted his ass." He looked stupid as hell. I'm surprised Punk didn't start laughing on the ground and shit. That was funny. So they did that. Then afterwards, after that whole thing, Sheamus comes out, and Del Rio returns. And so they're going Del Rio Sheamus, which I think could go well, too. It's a good clash of styles. You got, you know, super technical heel and, strong powerhouse champion type guy. So that could work well. I mean, they got to find a good place for Daniel Bryan, too. I don't want to see him just completely drop out of the picture. Not necessarily needs to fucking go with a million rematches and this and that and get the title right back, but, like, at least keep him somewhat in the realm of where they had him at. I would be happy with that. So that's that. Whatever the fuck his name is. A.W. What the fuck is his first name? I forget. Abraham, I think. Abraham Washington. And, he's in the back and he's telling Mark Henry he fucking botched the shit out of that. That was almost worse than fucking Jericho busting his ass trying to stomp somebody. He tells Mark Henry, quote, "You need some muscle with that hustle." I'm thinking to myself, I think he's got the muscle. I think he was trying to put, he fucked up, dog. So I was just like, it's just this dude. How the first time you gonna try to be a manager for a motherfucker, you're gonna completely botch the fucking line. Here's why you should be with me. World's strongest man, you need some muscle with that hustle you're working with. Get the fuck out of here. You should have punched him in the face and ended the segment. You should have done this fucking, like, you know how some people take complete exception to people, you know, messing up in the ring and they just stiff the fuck out of the other guy. That's what he should have done. He should have, like, he fucked it. He should have just clotheslined him in the throat. Like, "I got muscle, motherfucker." And then it let him come back the next week and say the right shit and then maybe eventually ply him and be his manager and shit. But I was just like, did he just say Mark Henry needs some muscle with that hustle? Remind. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Okay, great. This guy's an awesome manager. So, next up you had Miz versus Zack Ryder. Miz wins, which, again, couldn't be happier. Zack Ryder hasn't had a win in I don't know how long. He got injured every single week he wrestled and came back, and they pretended like it didn't happen.
Cena was fucking his girl or kissing his girl or whatever. I don't really care. And then he just gets nothing but losses and jobbed out now, and that's fantastic. Cena comes out and all green, just fucking all greened out, green with envy over the victory that The Rock got. This looks like a fucking Boston Celtic. It's from Boston, whatever. Then he bores the living shit out of everyone in the world. He's pretty much joins The Rock's ass kiss club. Kiss the Rock's ass club on Monday Night Raw. There's really nothing short of what fucking Vince did with pulling his ass out and having him kiss it. Like, he was just such a, just, he came off like such a herb. So then Brock Lesnar comes out, and it was funny because halfway through his segment, they're like, "We want Lesnar," and he stops and he's like, "Man, Miami is such a fun crowd, or Florida is such a," because I think they were in Orlando or some shit. It's like, "Oh, yeah, it's such a fun crowd to be around. You guys are a lot of fun." Then they just fucking, "Rewind Lesnar," and eventually Brock comes out. Fucking F5s, dude. He, like, puts his hand out, like, he's going to shake his hand, just pulls him in, F5s him. Fucking, brr, fucking that's it. Done. So, it's funny shit. And, Cena just gets squashed again. So, and it's not like he got squashed at the pay-per-view, but he got beat by a guy who's not going to be here, you know, in a month or two. Maybe back promoting shitty movies. So they're doing that. And it's cool with me, too, because I ain't, you know what I'm saying, I'm not a big Cena fan. So if they decide to give him a back burner for a while, or they decide to do him some beatdown type shit, and, whatever, I don't really give a fuck. So that's Raw, but there's a lot of good shit going on. I mean, between the FCW talent that, you know, everybody knows about, you know, the Onos and the Antonio Cesaro and the Moxley, Seth Rollins, and the motherfucking Tyler Black. What the fuck his ass is. He's Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose is mock shit. And it's hard fucking learning 12 names for each dude. But you got all these guys on the horizon that could be coming up. Brody Lee up in there now. All this different shit. And then you got what they're actually doing, you know, getting Albert back up in there and doing a, you know, big squash thing, big dude shit. And then you got, Lesnar in there doing his thing. And, you know, people have been dying for that for a minute. You know, and then, you know, Brutus Clay's been doing his thing. And so is Santino as far as the comedy gimmick, fun-loving, dancing, all of that shit, doing it well. So now they team up and they're doing that whole thing. You got guys like fucking Ziggler who are, he's a fucking beast worker. This guy is definitely, and a lot of people made the comparison, but yeah, he's like a new school fucking Mr. Perfect. With more like up-to-date moves, up-to-date agility, all of that shit, like new shit. But yeah, I mean, he's got tremendous talent out there. So that, I mean, I can't ask any more from this guy. I mean, this is a company that a couple months ago, I would watch and I'd be like, and honestly, probably a couple weeks ago, like, I was just bored as shit with everything they were giving me. Like, all right, seen this before. They did the same shit last week. Here we go again. What the fuck? We're going to do this some more? Damn. All right. So, I don't know. So that's Raw. I'm kind of looking forward to next week. I'm hoping they put on some big shit because now I ain't going to have fucking all these Dragon Gate shows. And I ain't going to have WrestleMania or none of that shit. So I'm going to need some shit to talk about. So I hope Raw pumps it up. I'm going to have some definite, I got the one show too that I didn't really get into yet. I'll wait for next week, but that one of the Japan shows that CZW was involved in, some of the big Japan shit. So I'll get into some of that next week. I'll find other stuff to get into next week too, but yeah, I got to get into this other topic about this other shit and take yet another break. So I'll dedicate this to the motherfuckers.
Bitch, me Allah and Rahman El Rahim. Back to the block, I pop squads, egg and team.
hip-hop drop shit, I'm still grabbing pennies. Rap game got me mad, Derrick Angeletti. New school niggas whack, you say the vet starting. Got a few left in me, nigga, I'm Brett Favre. Niggas sort of rap, and they sing songs. I'm gorilla rap, call me King Kong. Rap soldiers, special forces, Navy SEAL. Conquer the rap game without a major deal. Living the fast life, speeding on the Autobahn. Slow the car down, the car seat contain my daughter Sean. Sean Major, knife, Sean Slayer. Revoke your ghetto pass, stupid nigga John Mayer. Coke in the car and heat on my lap. Motherfucker, this is deeper than rap. Motherfucker, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up, nigga.
Yeah.
Talk all that bullshit, nigga.
What fuck up, man?
Listen. Firecracker, rap with a short fuse. Back smack a rapper for rapping with auto tune. Fucking rapping computer thug. Stick the hard drive in your ass, computer love. Name your top five rappers. I smack shit out of them. They not live rappers. Backpack rappers. Fuck on the bullshit. Open the backpack with the gat in the full clip. Every verse is kinda raw. Old man rapping, you can fuck with a dinosaur. I'm a Jurassic bastard, haphazardly clap at your faculty tragic. Magic, David Blaine, make rappers disappear when I change the game. MRC Tyson, assault and battery charge when the guards ain't writing. Motherfucker, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, nigga.
You smoking Newports in my car? Hey, yo, Blake, they smoking Newports in the car, man. Fuck out of here, man. Alejandro was popping, man.
Word up.
Sean Price. Drew Hahn Buckshot, favorite artist. Get involved and get a job. Shut the fuck up.
Mike, was that your shortest fight ever?
I've been witness there's only one God, and Muhammad's blessings and peace be upon him is his prophet. All praise be to my children, I love you. Oh, God, amen. What?
Is this your shortest fight ever? In any time, amateur, professional, ever?
Assalamu alaikum, Maida.
Yeah. And now the theme of that song is clearly shut the fuck up. And this is something that I'd like to ask this big, jacked up, fucking retarded Jewish dude. Known as Frank Goodman. And you know, let me tell you something. Let me explain this whole thing to you right from the start. There's a lot of really popular... Well, let me preface with this before I even touch Frank. There's a lot of really popular podcasts out there right now. And they have been for a while. Before I address that group, I'm going to address everybody else. Majority of them are fucking dorks. Majority of them couldn't walk fucking 2 seconds around me without me calling them a geek to their face. Like, seriously, a lot of these motherfuckers are just, like, sniffling, laughing at each other, like, wiping snot off their nose, fucking retard dorks. Like, they can't fuck with me. They're nowhere near the intelligence level or could even hang with me, like, on a regular just conversation. Like, it's not even like, yo, I'm just so much smarter or any of that dumb shit. Like, these cats are geeks. Like, these are the people who you expect to just, you know, you'd be like, oh, well, you just talk shit on your radio, or you just talk shit behind your computer, or you just talk shit here, or you just talk shit there. Those are those type of cats. Those are definitely those type of cats all day, every fucking day. And a lot of times, cats like me get lumped into that fucking group because the majority of them cats are exactly that. And they're just, they're fucking dorks. That's the bottom line. That's no bullshit about it. All right, now let me get into this other group. Now, and let me, again, I got to backtrack again. Before I get into the other group, let me also acknowledge that all of these motherfuckers are getting thousands of listeners, hundreds of thousands of listeners every fucking week. I don't even come close to that shit. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to continue to do me, but I'm going to start putting these motherfuckers on blast because I've had about enough of motherfuckers getting the shine that I deserve because they're going out there and they're saying what they want to say, and they got a whole group of geeks that are just like, oh, yeah, how you keep it real. Like, get the fuck out of here. So first off, now let me get into them. Let me first off preface this by saying the Wrestling Soup are my dudes. Joey Numbers, Anthony Missionary Thomas. They're a phenomenal show. They crack my shit up. Their content is fucking funny as hell. Anthony is just an incredibly talented producer. Great on-air personality. He's got a great voice. He's great with the audio shit, with the chopping, the clipping, the, you know, commercial stuff. I mean, he does great stuff. He did my intro. And I'm trying to have him work on more intros for me. Hopefully I won't burn my bridge here. But it is what it is. Respect due to all those cats. And Joey's just a funny-ass dude. He's from Massachusetts. He just shoots shit, and he says some funny shit. So I like the cut of his jib, man. I mean, as they say. So I love them dudes. I listen to their shit all the time. But I listen to a lot of podcasts. You know what I mean? Like, those are my favorite, like, wrestling podcasts to listen to right there. Those are them dudes. They actually started because Anthony was doing a whole lot of producing and the sound work and stuff like that for the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. Now, I can't go too far before that because I know Don Tony or Anthony de Blasi, however you want to call him, was doing like hotline stuff, and they were doing a lot of stuff back in the day. And I can't chronological that like well enough to put you right up to speed on exactly how it all started and where it all linked up. But the fact is like, you know, Mish was doing a lot of stuff for Don Tony and them back then, and then decided, I guess at one point, to start up his own show and got with Joey, and they got fucking phenomenal thing going. All right, now let me get to Don Tony. I hate even calling him that. It's the name of his show, but his name is Anthony de Blasi. The guy, he's 40-something years old. He sells insurance out of New York. He was a money mark for fucking XPW when they tried to bury CZW. This is why he'll never give any credit to CZW. He'll never give any credit to the indies, because his venture on trying to be part of the indies was a failed fucking venture, and now he's disgruntled. And now he'll just go, there's nothing going on. You know, it's just nothing going on. You know, I don't know. Anyone ask him? You know, it's just not the same. Nothing's going on. It's pretty much dead. It's the indie scene is pretty much dead. But he doesn't watch a fucking single lick of that shit to even know whether any of it's good, whether any of it's anything. It could be exactly what he likes, but he won't even pay it attention. And then if someone asks him about it, he'll just call it dead. So that's a bunch of bullshit right there. I'll call him on that right from the start. See, my whole thing right here is not to just completely bash de Blasi, but I'm going to do a lot of it as well, because he's very much so a hypocrite. And I'm tired of a lot of shit. I mean, this fucking guy got a couple million listens. He gets a couple million listens every fucking year. Do you understand what kind of shit that is? I can't get a fucking solid 100 listens a week. And this motherfucker's getting a couple million a year. Now, I mean, you could call it jealousy, because honestly, partially it is. Part of it is. Because when someone speaks out of their ass and bashes shit they don't even watch, and they get a fucking whole group of fucking clowns following them, and I'm telling it like it is, telling it like I see it. I don't talk about shit that I don't know about. And then other motherfuckers are getting all the shine in the fucking world. Then yeah, I'm going to have a little bit to say about it. Because I fucking earned the right to do that by paying my motherfucking money, showing up at shows, spending my own fucking hours, because I love fucking wrestling, watching wrestling. That is something that makes me a fucking real dude. Okay? So I understand why you got your following, because maybe you used to be one of them dudes. But now you're riding on the coattails of your old reputation. Now you're a 40-something-year-old dude that only watches fucking Raw and pay-per-views on live stream, which so do I ain't bashing you for that, and shitting on the majority of that and acting like, you know, you got a fucking hand in the business. Alright? Hugely fucking dude. And another thing about de Blasi before I get off him, because this is all segueing to something else. And de Blasi does a show with Kevin Castle. Kevin Castle, he's a guy, another, I think, 40-something-year-old dude. Not completely clear on her ages. I don't really care. That he does, like, rock club promoting and, you know, does stuff in the rock. And he's actually, like, and I'll give two of them credit. They're both extremely knowledgeable about old-school wrestling. They show clear knowledge in old school wrestling to the point where you can't doubt for 1 second that they knew their shit back in the day. And they still know their back in the day shit. Like, far more than I ever could. So that I can give you. But as far as current product, as far as like current indies, what's going on outside of what shows up on Monday nights, they don't know shit. Like, well, and I'm more or less going at Anthony because, I mean, Kevin watches it here and there, but he's pretty much like straight up, he's like, ah, dude, I didn't even watch it. But the Blasey, like, he'll not watch it and just be like, it's pretty much dead. It's like nothing's going on there. So anyway, they get all their millions of listens, and I don't. And then the other big deal is, well, the Blasey had been more or less blowing fucking Frank Goodman of USA Pro fame. You know, Frank was running his USA Pro shit out there and running the whole motherfucking thing. He was pretty much running the indie scene at a certain point. He was doing shit before other people were doing it. No bullshit about it. Now, whether it was just the prime time to actually capitalize on some shit and he jumped on the boat first or whatever the case was, but he was capitalizing on shit. He was pouring 1,000 people into fucking buildings in New York. Okay, I'll give you that, okay? Well, de Blasio was riding his dick back then, and he still is. And he's scared for his fucking life of him. He is such a little pussy around him on the radio. It's fucking ridiculous. And here, let me, like, back in the day, Goodman was running USA Pro, and he would have low key Xavier on the undercard. He'd have fucking Shane Douglas versus Raven on the fucking, or Raven versus Sabu, and they'd give him 45 minutes on the main event. But then he'd later on say how he was the first one to do, you know, Loki and Xavier before Ring of Honor, before all that. They all stole it from me. Well, that's good. Again, I don't know if it was just because you were the first person to get there or because, I mean, you really had the unbelievable mind for wrestling. But, I mean, in retrospect, I don't think he had the unbelievable mind for wrestling because today he doesn't know shit. So he does his weekly show, the Mass Maniac show, which is produced by Anthony de Blasio that Frank does off his cell phone every week, just like I do, but he comes off like he's in a cell phone through a tunnel, like the worst fucking reception. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about how he sounds. He starts every one of his shows saying how he has this many inches his arms are and this how many inches his chest is and this is how many inches his penis is. And I'm not exaggerating. He actually tells fucking a bunch of grown-ass men listening to a fucking podcast how, I have a long and potent penis. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with you? So that's his deal, right? Well, this guy and all he's ever done is he comes on, he doesn't know shit about wrestling, he doesn't give a fuck about wrestling, other than what he's running. His whole thing is ticket sellers. He's got that crazy New York Jewish accent. The ticket sellers, I got to tell you, Anthony, these ticket sellers were lined up to sell tickets for me. And when they sell tickets for me, now they understand they're going to be on a show with Snuka. Snuka's on the main event. Snuka will give me 25 minutes. I got to tell you, Snuka's the best heel in the business. Like, dude, you're talking about the year 2000. Like, Snuka, whatever, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it was a mark for his own shit. Like, he couldn't see any other product that, okay, these guys are doing a good thing. These guys are doing a thing. He was just king shit, and he looked at his attendance, and if it worked, great. If it didn't, whatever. He would have a whole shitload of fucking good, legitimate indie workers selling tickets to get on fucking shows for him. That, in his mind, made him king. And now he looks at other promoters that are actually paying these guys like fucking scumbags, and they're ruining the business because they're giving these guys big heads like they deserve money. Like, he actually tells people, you should pay your dues. Now, pay your dues isn't like work low card, help set up the ring. He's like, no, I got a ring crew. I got all of that. I don't need none of that. I need you to sell me fucking 90 tickets. I need you to make me fucking money. Go fucking run around and flyer a million shows, and then maybe I'll let you be on the fucking, what, you know, like, shit like this. Again, I've said it a million times because I've never pretended to be a fucking worker. I'm not a worker. So, I mean, if all of that shit is cool with somebody, if all of that's cool with you, and you want to pay a motherfucker to be on his show because motherfucking Balls Mahoney is on the main event, and you want to be on the same card as Balls to show your friends that you wrestled on the same card as Balls, and then I'm fucking really happy for you. But honestly, I don't think that earns you any fucking credit, especially not in my motherfucking book. Like, when you hear me talk on the show about how good somebody is, do you ever hear he wrestled on a card with such and such? Unless I'm talking about the same match. Like, he wrestled such and such in a match, and that was really good. So I'd be like, you know, I think Pac's good, and then, well, those Scene Cats must be really good because they worked on the same card as Pac, so, you know what I mean? Well, that's all I got. I don't know how good they are. I just know they wrestled on the same card as a motherfucker. Or, you know, Shane Douglas was on that card, and he was in ECW. And this is the shit that every single week this dude floats by on the fucking what used to be cool. Like, he talks to de Blasi, and this is the thing. Like, de Blasi is like a super arrogant fucking Italian dude on his show. And he's Italian on the other show, too, but he's a pussy on the other show. On his show, he's like, this is how I feel, and this is what I do. And it doesn't work when you do this. And when you do that, it doesn't work. And you need to use this guy. That guy's fucking worthless. Hogan's done. This guy's done. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, he's brave as fuck. He gets on fucking Goodman's show, and Goodman's like, here's what I got to tell you, Anthony. I got to tell you, Hogan needs another run. Hogan needs another run in the WWE, and he needs to be a monster heel. He needs to come in there. He needs to be all riled up. He needs to come in there and beat the shit out of their top face, and he needs to just destroy him. That's what he needs to do. Do you agree with me, Anthony? And he goes, yeah. Good. Yeah, I think, no, I think you're right. No, I agree. And he does that for the whole fucking show. This is his whole thing. And he's fucking big man on campus when he's by himself, and he's a fucking screaming fucking. And that, another thing that I, you know, gotta address a little bit of a tone. Like, he says extremely racist shit on his show on a regular basis. But then he says, it's tongue-in-cheek humor. It's tongue-in-cheek humor. That's all it is tongue-in-cheek humor. Oh, is it really? Because you would never say that tongue-in-cheek humor around a black dude because they put your tongue in your ass for saying some of the shit you say. But it's cool. Anybody listen to that shit and judge it for yourself. It ain't me. Yeah, you know I mean, like when that whole Brodus Clay and his mom and the Bridge Club came out and shit, he said it looked like a bunch of Kamalas, like a bunch of fucking tribal dancers and shit. So, I mean, you could judge that for yourself to see how you feel about that, you know, from wherever you're sitting. And even the people on the fucking air with him, Kevin Castle, was like, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you? And that's just like, he thinks that's just part of the comedy. It's all good. He never runs into these circles of people. He doesn't hang around anywhere where that shit's going to become an issue. He sells fucking insurance. Then he goes into his apartment. Then he goes to his parents' beach house at 40-something years old. He doesn't have to deal with that shit. And he spews whatever he wants to on the air. And then when it comes down to it, it's just like, no. It's tongue-in-cheek humor. I have no problem with nobody. I like Reggie Jackson. What do you mean? And that's what his gig is. You know, a couple million listens. Yeah, holla at me. Well, Goodman, he does the same shit. And his line is, I could say a bunch of racist shit. And then he says, my wife's a gook, so I'm not racist. Like, dude, what the fuck kind of... This is the type of shit I'm talking about. And then beyond all of that stuff. All right, so Goodman's thing is like, he's down with all the old school shit. He's not down with the new school shit. And if he was like, if you were a CM Punk and you worked on some of his mid-card and shit, he's still not sold. He's not watching Raw for the most part. He's not watching the shit you're doing year-round most part. He's not good with it. He don't give a fuck about it. Like, all right, he starts out this past week, because I do listen to all of these shows. Like, this isn't like, hey, I don't listen. Like, no, I listen. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, if you don't like, don't listen. No, I like hearing people talk about wrestling. So I'm going to listen. It's free. It doesn't cost me shit. And I'm going to listen to it. And half of, you know, maybe what I do and maybe what I'm going to continue to do and start doing a lot more of is ripping other people's opinions apart, because I feel like I deserve the fucking following that other people got, because I do legitimately follow this shit as opposed to other people. So, let's see, like one of the things he says this week, he starts out right from the start of the show, and he's like, he announces Anthony de Blasio as Anthony D'Antoni Funker Delusional de Blasio. And he calls, like, within the first, like, minute or two, he calls, like, five or six people delusional. And, like, he just learned this word, so now he's going to call everybody delusional. Now, during this same show, he goes, 7 minutes in, he goes, The Rock is the greatest in-ring performer of all time, better than Flair, just off of seeing him on, like, what he did on WrestleMania. Greatest in-ring performer of all time, straight up. Now, I mean, you could debate that. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could debate that. I never for 1 second looked at Rock as the best wrestler ever. I mean, if you want to debate that, I mean, he has a lot of contests out there. He's got a lot of things he's done. Fine. I don't know, man. I don't know. I no way in hell do I think fucking Mr. Howard Masala is a fucking not as good wrestler as The Rock. No fucking way do I think Masala is below The Rock on the best wrestler ever fucking... voting. I can't imagine that. You know, The Rock is better than Liger. The Rock is better than Muda. The Rock is better than so many. And you know, maybe I'm going a little too far to Japan all the time, but, like, let's be honest, his all-time best wrestler. And shit, y'all even go to America and say that, yeah, Flair is far better as an all-time best wrestler than The Rock. But, I mean, go whatever direction you like. That's cool. I mean, it's going to be what it's going to be. Everybody has their opinion, and that's fine. Okay? Another statement he says, nobody cared about the Punk match at all at WrestleMania. It wasn't a WrestleMania quality match. Jericho and Punk aren't on the level of main eventers like Rock and Cena, and it wouldn't even matter if they canceled that match. And that the ROH, quote-unquote, ROH guys like Punk are getting exposed on the grand stage when they show up in matches like in WrestleMania. Then he says, the 5 minutes that Booker T showed in the match showed he's better than CM Punk. CM Punk's strong style looks fake. Then he says, you know, de Blasio says something like, well, what about putting Brock Lesnar in there with Punk? And he goes, are you kidding me, Anthony? To put Brock versus Punk would be making a joke out of what Brock is today. If Brock doesn't beat Punk in 2 minutes, Brock's monster aura means nothing. Brock is only here to work star power guys. And he goes on and on and on about Punk is not star power. Who has been the fucking biggest name in the company for the past, I don't know, at least year and a half to 2 years? It's fucking CM Punk. Jesus Christ. How could you not see that? You're this fucking super promoter of fucking New York. You run New York. All he does is reflect on his past. As far as his wrestling career goes, his fondest fucking memories are, I stuck a hot dog in a guy's ass. I pulled his pants down in front of the whole crowd. I stuck a hot dog in his ass. And Norman Smiley was on commentary, and he couldn't believe it. And then another match that he said like a couple weeks ago, I went to the concession stand and pulled the mustard squirter, and I pulled the guy's pants down, and I squirted the mustard right in his ass. This is his claim to fame in wrestling. This is his, I remember the time that this happened. This is me in the wrestling ring. Oh, here's where I stuck a hot dog in a guy's ass. Here's where I stuck mustard in a guy's ass. Oh, wow, you're fucking hugely talented. I wish there were people like you on TV. You're a fucking talentless, hack fucking douchebag. You had your fucking shine. You did your shit with USA Pro. All that shit got given away for free on fucking RF Video. You whine about that every once in a while, but RF made more money off of your fucking sales than you ever fucking did on video. You might have made something off the house because you were making it off the fucking ticket sellers for the most part, but the fact of the matter is a lot of those guys have made a bigger career for themselves than you'll ever make as the fucking masked maniac. That shit is garbage. No one knows who the fuck the masked maniac is. Oh, and he's super name drop guy. I'm in the gym. I seen AJ Styles the other day, and he didn't shake my hand. He's an asshole. I seen Christopher Daniels, and he said, oh, hi, Mr. Goodman. How you doing, Mr. Goodman? And then I seen Hogan, and he said, hi. Oh, how's your arms doing? And, like, everybody's fucking his best friend in the gym. Like, he's fucking friends. He knows everybody. He knows Tiger Woods. He knows Hogan. He knows fucking everybody knows him. Everybody sees him. Everybody. As far as random wrestling fans, give it 10 years, give it 20 years, give it 20 years. And he's the first one to say nobody would recognize him if they walked through an airport because they don't look like a wrestler. Oh, just because you're super fucking jacked up and still have a fucking gut on you and a fucking beak for a nose, you look like you're about to take flight, but you can't because you're too bloated. I mean, you're just all fucking jacked up. I do nose crushes with 865 pounds. You look fucking gross, dude. You don't look like a fucking a toned fucking chiseled fucking body. You look fucking gross. You look blown the fuck up like you got elephantitis in your fucking arms and shit. It's not a good looking body. Like, you cannot be like a legitimate bodybuilder. Your fucking body looks weird. Like, fucking weird, awkward, stupid shit. Like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I never did a drug in my life, and he still fucking throws guys like Trent Acid under the bus because he got in my car and he smelled like marijuana, and I told him to sit in the hatch. Like, dude, respect the dead, motherfucker, for Christ's sakes. You're not talking about hard shit. You're talking about fucking weed. I never touched a drug in my life. Look at you. The fuck is wrong with you? So that's that. But this is what I'm saying. Like, this guy goes again and again on what he used to do. And that guy used to sell tickets for me. Now he thinks he can make money. Who the fuck does he think he is? Like, oh, he's a fucking indie worker. He's someone who makes fucking a living off of trying to work the fucking indie circuit. You get all fucking pissed off because the motherfucker wants to get paid for working. Like, this is the ridiculous shit. And then fucking de Blasio sucks his dick on this past episode and tries to tell him, And mind you, like I said, de Blasio doesn't watch any fucking indies, any at all. And if someone asks him about it, he'll go, well, it's pretty much dead. Okay? You really can't fucking get these DVDs or anything from Goodman. He's one of these, like, maybe 3 months after it happened, whatever asshole taped it, made, like, a bunch of fucking, like, little bullshit DVDs or something like it. But he don't have, like, legitimate, like, good distribution or anything like that, nor would anyone pay for this shit. Like, he's still booking fucking the same motherfucking old ECW names on his main event. Fucking Balls versus fucking Rhino on his main event. Like, seriously, no fucking joke. And then he had a problem with Balls lately, and that's where the whole shoot shit came from with New Jack, because he's buddies with New Jack. So that's his main event shit. And all that. But then de Blasio's trying to suck his dick and say, well, all these new indie guys, you know, I don't know none of their names, and, you know, and the only guys' names I know is the guys that you put out there, Frank, you know, Maniac, these are the only guys I know is Francisco Siapsu or whatever, and that's how he said it, which the dude's name is like Francisco Siapso, which I can't even be completely accurate, because honestly, like, I've heard his name a few times but never seen him work. He's got like an Italian gimmick, FBI gimmick type thing. He was doing it with Big Vito in the company down there, and then Big Vito wanted more money, and fucking Frank threw him under the bus and told him he was shit too. And then de Blasio goes, yeah, and that, you know, Shooter Schultz. The guy's name is Shooter Storm. So now you're sucking Frank's dick to say that you've heard of two fucking indie guys and you didn't get neither one of their fucking names right. So why don't you blow the guy and use a little more fucking tongue and less teeth, dude, because you're fucking it up. You're fucking the whole shit up. Yeah, I mean, why don't you look like less of a cocksucker and just say you don't know what the fuck you're talking about in certain avenues instead of going, oh, yeah, it's pretty much dead. Oh, yeah, yeah, you still run the indies down there, Frank. Yeah, oh, Maniac, but the only indie names I know are Francisco Siapsu or whatever, and Shooter Schultz. Yeah. His fucking name is Shooter Storm. Like, dude, seriously, do fucking 5 minutes of research, write it down on paper so you can say the right names when you blow the dude. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. And these are the people that will continually blow me out of the fucking water and on fucking ratings. And it's not because of that I'm shouting these guys out, that I'm fucking giving these guys this amount of time, but it's the fact that I'm annoyed with these guys completely blowing fucking facts and getting all these fucking people to follow them off of fucking false information. Complete false information. Racism, false information, fucking acting like they're veterans in the motherfucking business because, oh, and in fucking 2000, 2001, fucking Frank Goodman was USA pro. He was the shit over there in New York. And then Ring of Honor and all of them showed up, and whatever else happened, he moved out, and they all just stole his ideas. And nobody for the rest of history of the fucking indies are worth shit because Frank Goodman made them all. Frank Goodman created all the talent that all these other guys are using, and if it wasn't for him, da-da-da-da-da, like, shut the fuck up, dude. You don't even watch the product anymore, and this is what I get. That's why I started this whole thing with shut the fuck up, because that's the bottom line. I wish this motherfucker would shut the fuck up. That's all it is. It's just ticket sellers. They sell tickets to be on my show, because who wouldn't want to be on a show with Paul Mahoney? And who wouldn't want to be on a show with and this guy? And I got this guy. Like, he was one of the last guys that fucking, you know, and I'm sorry to actually weave this into here because, you know, I actually, you know, I don't have a problem in the world with the dude, and I actually wanted to shout out that, you know, I feel it's very, very sad that Kamala actually, I think it was today, he was having his other leg amputated and shit. So, man, it sucks, and I hope something turns out well for him. I don't know how to even phrase that. I hope something turns out well when you now had both of your legs amputated. That's fucked. But the most recent booking that I could say that I heard of him getting was fucking Frank Goodman was going to book him. And then he pulled off the show. He probably started to have health problems because this was actually before his first amputation. But, and I was like, Kamala? Whoa, where the fuck did he come from? But that's Frank Goodman all day long. I'll bring Snuka in one more time, and I'll have him dress in all black and be a super heel and just crush whatever super indie guy is in that's selling tickets for me. Oh my god, man, this is the bullshit. This is the bullshit every week, and I'm gonna make a weekly thing out of this. And I'm not like, this isn't, my show isn't gonna turn into let me fucking review what other shows have said and bash it. But I am gonna target this dude a little bit. And maybe I'll pull some audio next week in case you don't understand exactly how delusional this shit sounds when you hear it. But, like, saying shit like, you know, CM Punk and those guys aren't even fucking main eventers. If you had any one of these other fucking geek podcasts or fucking legitimate podcasts or whatever, and they talk week in, week out, what was good, what wasn't good, what was good, what wasn't good. Majority of the weeks you hear fucking Punk's segment was great. Punk's match was great. This worked well. This worked well. This worked well. And then this motherfucker gets on the air for, you know, once every 4 months that he watches the fucking product, and he goes, this guy's not a main eventer. You need to get – here's another thing he said. The Big Show should be the best heel in the history of the business because the Big Show is really good. And I just – I fucking listen to this shit, and I just stop, and I go, oh, wait, let me rewind that. Did he actually just say, and yeah, he did.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, exactly, fuck that. You know, and it's like, and eventually, I don't understand what you think. A lot of times I sit back and I listen to all these fucking shows, and like I said, Wrestling Soup is a shit. They're great people, and they're fucking highly entertaining. You know, and they do a great job. But a lot of times, you know, besides them and all that, I listen to all these other shows, and my first fucking thought is...
Wait. Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. That's more or less what I think. It's fucking crazy because you listen to these motherfuckers, and like I said, you get super hyped, fucking aggressive, fucking racist Italian on a fucking Monday, and then on whatever other day that he films fucking or he records the Masked Maniac show, it's like, oh, I'm just going to be under the desk. You go ahead and talk about how awesome USA Pro is. And then when you pause and go, isn't that right, Anthony? You pull your mouth off my cock. Fucking peek your head up and go, yeah, I agree, yeah, definitely, yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah, I'll Yeah, you were 100% right. Okay, I'm going to go back to blowing you. Yeah, and that's what happens every week. But, you know, pour in the fucking hundreds of thousands of fucking listeners that you give these guys. And, you know, don't give me any fucking credit for pouring out fucking passion on what actually goes on in fucking wrestling. Just, I mean, if you could just continue to rest on the fucking past and washed up ECW names that he fucking books on his main events, you know, and gets his couple hundred people in fucking Florida, in Orlando, Florida, no less, because there's no fucking traffic over there to book fucking events. You know, he claims the fucking wrestling crowd, wrestling product, whatever out there is so dead. It's not like New York. Whatever, man. You don't have any tourists. You don't have anyone you could pull in over there. But no, because you clearly know exactly how to book a card. And that's what it is, you know. But anyway, I'm going to give this a rest. I don't really have a lot more to say about this fucking guy this week. Next week, I'm going to have some more shit, and I'm going to pull some audio, because you guys have no idea how fucking delusional. For a guy who just pinpointed his show on the word delusional this week, you have no fucking idea how... And that's the thing, like, he also... Jesus, every time I say I'm done, I think of some more shit. Every time he fucking takes credit for... I was the first one to do Red Low-Key. I was the first one to do Low-Key's Homicide. I was the first one to do this. I was the first one to do that. And then he'll go fucking 20 minutes calling Low-Key a midget and a piece of shit and a fucking... an asshole that just hits people harder than he should. And he has no business fucking wrestling if he's going to treat people like that. And that he would have beat his ass, and Loki's lucky he never stepped to him, and all, like, he talks, like, just tremendous amount of shit about everybody, and then just backs off it for a minute and goes, yeah, but that's why, you know, that's why they're a big name now, because, you know, what I did, and I was just, he's the king of taking credit, and the fucking worst person at giving anybody else any fucking credit that didn't come from his own fucking creation. So, in my opinion, he's a piece of shit. He's super big on threatening people, too, so you can go ahead and threaten me with your fucking Florida address and go ahead, come to Jersey and fucking attack me. Whatever, you fucking big retard. You can find me with fucking MapQuest and my address and a fucking GPS. Whatever. Oh wait, I go to indie shows. That's right, none of you motherfuckers pay attention to indies unless you run the fucking company, so whatever. I don't really give a fuck. I'll wait till they're playing someone's fucking entrance video on your fucking chest, you idiot. So, alright, I'm going to wrap this shit up for the night, and hope you guys enjoyed me fucking bugging out. Yeah.
Fuck you, Thunder! You can suck my dick!
Alright, I will check you next Thursday. I think I got it all. Yo, shout out to ProWrestling.net. Shout out to Wrestling Soup. Not sure if they still like me. Shout out to Yolanda for making my shirts. Shout out to everybody who listens. For Christ's sake, show up next week. Peace.
What's going on with you? This is Greg Excellent, the Bearded Dragon of the Northeast, and you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. And if you're not, you're probably watching porn and you have this muted. But you should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Peace. All right, ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, depending on what this soundbite is meant for, Yakuza Kick fucking Radio, hosted by Jay and Eric. Eric is the quiet one who I thought was off the phone for a long time, and but then he popped back in like he's the Andy Sumner, it's a hot tag, and he popped in with amazing force and jackhammered the fuck out of me with his three questions. So tune in next time, because fucking, yeah, Yakuza Kick Radio, something.
What up? This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I've been learning all the nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over. We're taking over.